Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
What you got in the basket, gorgeous?
I got a little bunny rabbit which I'm taking to my grandma's to have, see?
Wow, not a bad pair of stems for a rabbit.
Yeah, and he's got a cute face too, see?
Austin, I'd like you to meet somebody. This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
How do you do?
My God, man, what have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby.
Yeah, yeah, come on. Why won't this wig come off? Austin!
Yeah, hold on.
No, no, Austin, my mother! Oh,
I'm sorry, Basil, I thought she was a man.
Damn it, man, you're talking about my mother.
Well, you have to admit, she is rather mannish.
Austin.
Well, no offense, but if that is a woman, it does look like she was beaten with an ugly stick.
Nancy, I'm helping Hank winch a trailer. I'll see you for dinner.
Sorry, Shug. I get to anchor eyewitness weather tonight. There's high winds blowing. Might be a tornado. This could be the disaster I've been waiting for. So keep your fingers crossed.
Well, what about my supper?
I left the carton of cigarettes on the table.
I think I'll keep her.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says. Just keep laughing.
Boy, am I in luck. Oh, I'm thinking about my life in place. Everybody's got a laugh in place. A laugh in place to go home.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
There.
Down.
Hello.
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 And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on this fine. Half rainy, half sunny Monday afternoon. And as you know, Don and Mike said on Friday that they were going up to New York today. So, it's you and me and a big steaming plate full of best stuff for us today. So let's get right into it. And to start us off, it's kind of a hodgepodge, but it starts with, remember those old 8-track tapes from back in the day? Well, it's definitely here for you now. It's the best of Don and Mike.
And boy, 8-tracks, what a pain in the ass they used to be.
And the song fades out in the middle before it changes track?
Yeah, and also, if there was a song you liked, like if you bought an album.
Like The Fifth Dimension. Yeah, like that.
That seems to be an 8-track I always remember.
They had a lot of 8-tracks.
But, okay, let's stick with Fifth Dimension.
Right.
Let's say that you're Mike O'Meara and you want to hear one last bell to answer.
Mm-hmm. One less bell to answer.
And
oh, won't you marry me, Bill?
But the trick is that would be cut number 7, and the other one would be cut number 1. Mm. You would have to sit through cut 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to get to 7.
Yeah, no way to get to it.
Right. you could fast forward, but fast forwarding was only like 30 seconds slower than if you listened to the goddamn song anyway. Right.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
And it would be the worst if you had a good song like, I remember one, Grand Funk, Closer to Home.
Yes.
I'm getting closer to my home. I'm your captain. Yeah. Anyway, it started out on side one of the A-track, and right as the song really gets kicking, it would just do this thing where it would just kind of go, wow, 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 wow. And then it would go, and then you'd wait and you'd hear,
Then it was
back. It's a war. It would kill you if you got to a stoplight. If you were like me, if you were a poser.
Yeah.
Right. Back in the day when you got up to the stoplight, and I still do it to this day, you get to the stoplight and you want to find the coolest possible song.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through your discs or what, and at that time you had the A-track. You go, hey, I got a good song on. And then, boom, it would fade out. You're dead. You're sitting there with nothing.
I have a Boston question because you're a Boston aficionado, and I had a dispute with an individual. The song, I closed my eyes and it slipped away. Now, what is the title of that song, that Boston song? And it's on there. Not, is it More Than a Feeling?
Are you kidding? That was your rendition of More Than a Feeling?
I didn't recognize it. I was on perfect pitch. I had perfect pitch.
No, I'm sorry,
was that More Than a Feeling?
not to my ears it wasn't.
But
now it's you were singing like some
I came
in
a very
song.
Odd, so no. Close my eyes and it slipped away. So that's More Than a Feeling.
That's an awful rendition of More Than a Feeling.
Can you get by? Can I at least ask my question about it?
Yes.
That's on their first album, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The same album with Smokin'.
Yeah. And Peace of Mind.
And Peace of Mind.
And Long Time.
But Don't Look Back is not on that album.
No.
It's their second album.
Don't Look Back was the title of their second album.
Oh, I went to
that's
that.
It. I knew that was right. I was arguing with a guy that I was playing poker with yesterday.
Is there a premier eponymously named album?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great word when the album is the same name as the band.
Right.
Eponymously.
And I am very glad that I knew that because, I mean, I thought it was, you know, I rarely get to play Mr. Musicologist, but I was certain with that one. And he said, oh, Don't Look Back's on the same album. I said, no, Don't Look Back was their second album.
Good for you.
And I said the same thing. I said, it may have been, maybe I said that. Maybe I'm lying, though. So, you know, you always want to lie to make yourself look better.
Oh, go
so
ahead.
Listen, anybody that knows that this isn't true, just don't worry about it, all right?
Right.
So what I also said to him was, Don't Look Back. It's the title of their second album.
Duh. And what is it you call that album thing again?
Eponymously.
No. Don't use that hippopotamus word ever again.
Eponymously.
Eponymously.
No, eponymously.
Ear-ponymously.
Eponymously.
Dictionary definition.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
No.
So why didn't you just say, hey, it was the album that was the same name as the band?
Because there's one word that means that.
Well, what? Well, the first album was the same name as the band.
That's right.
Now the word Boston means two things. The word Boston means the town and also means the band.
Right.
So it's not hippopotamus anymore.
Well, no, it's the band and the album. I'm the only one who went down to...
Well, explain. I don't understand the word.
Eponymous.
Eponymous means...
Spell it.
Eponymous, I think.
That is correct. And it means, according to dictionary.com, being or relating to bearing the name of an eponym.
Well, that clears it up for me.
Thought it would.
No.
Michael,
what is an eponym?
I'll look that up.
My.
No. I'm sorry. You know what? My old man, God rest his soul, ponied up a lot of dough for me to go to college, and I should have known.
You don't need to know that to do a radio show.
I know.
Trust me. You had a question about Boston. It would have been simple enough.
My mind is telling me.
It would have been simple enough if he would have just said, hey, same name as the album. That's, you know, much like, was Sheryl Crow's first album named Sheryl Crow? Let's say that it was.
The same debut album.
No.
So it just means the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Tall and tan and young and lovely. That's the girl for Beep and Doom.
No.
I never heard the eponym word before.
What's that mean, Buzz?
Eponym?
Yeah.
It's the name of a drug, structure, or disease based on or derived from the name of a person. So it starts with a person's name, as Rob said.
What does that have to do with Boston being the same name as the album
and
the band?
So that might not necessarily be the correct usage of the word. That might be true, because I get the impression that if an individual artist was to come out with an album and self-title it, name it after himself...
Exactly. Like I said, that's Sheryl Crow.
Eponymous. Exactly.
Like, This Is Elvis would be an eponymous...
That's a more accurate use of the word from what I can tell.
I stand by it.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Now, that's a good song.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
That was on Boston's second album.
Okay, you just step away from the microphone.
That was fun.
Mr. Dictionary.
I'd like to point out to our listening audience that those of you that are listening this time of year, this normally tends to be a little goofy time of year we're going into right now. Always tends to be a little odd in here. So I encourage you to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
There might be lots of fun moments. Anything like this.
You see, I want the hippopotamus for Christmas. The hippopotamus is all I want.
No.
Thank you!
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe it's the weather. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I swear to Christ, it goes from being 50 degrees to being 90 degrees, and now the roller coaster ride is over. We had been like between 50 and 70, then it would be 40, then it would be 60. Now it's just 85 to 90 forever.
Yeah, and then this will be the pattern is here. The hot days, the thunderstorms every single day.
That's right.
Welcome to our climate. Mm-hmm. But I am, I'm liking it. I like the hot air.
I was going to say, not that we're complaining. After the crap everybody in the Northeast has been through,
right.
It's been rather hippopotamus-like, would you say, Rob?
Yeah, I would call it that.
I thought it was I thought it was a ducky weekend.
No.
I really enjoyed the weekend weather. It was about time.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I wanted to stand by Rob and point out that R.E.M. named an album Eponymous.
But that's named after a name.
And how many hits were on that album?
Being clever instead of naming it R.E.M.
How many hits were on that album?
If you're listening to college radio back then.
Okay, no. How many hits? How many?
No hits.
That's why. Who would possibly have a hit song from Eponymous? You know what that is? That's Ponderous. That's effing Ponderous.
That's a good name for an album.
I'm doing a radio show here with my best buddy, and I'm supposed to talk about somebody's freaking dog dying? It's my dog dying?
As a matter of fact, that's what the album should be. Effing Ponderous.
Effing Ponderous.
No.
Yes, that one we like. Right.
Boy, this is f***ing Ponderous, man. Ponderous. F***ing Ponderous.
Right.
I love it.
Absolutely. What a weekend. I'm telling you. Listen, my wife.
You look like you're glowing today. I don't know what it is, but you've got a little glow to you. It's like your color is better, it seems.
It's because I was outside because the weather was so nice.
It was hippopotamus-like.
The weather was
something
ponderous.
Inside of you that is glowing. I don't know. I don't know what to.
I will tell you the truth that. Now stop. I had the most glorious sex this weekend with my mother-in-law.
Finally.
Out in the pool. I mean, it was. And I don't care how many neighbors saw.
Wow.
I know there were videotaping. I don't give a rat's ass.
You know, it was bound to happen.
Yeah.
No. It was bound to happen sometime in the hot weather.
Listen, here's the truth. I can't think of a more peaceful, serene weekend than I've had than the one that I just had with my wife gone and my mother-in-law. Now, that's like a recipe for disaster, living with my mother-in-law.
Yeah, sure, you usually would think it would be a disaster.
However, let me tell you why it was quite a nice weekend.
All right.
And why I'm really, frankly, I mean, I miss my wife and all, and tomorrow is her birthday, and I'm glad she's coming back. But it would be, except for the sex, everything's better with my mother-in-law.
Right.
Okay, number one, and again, mention this, she cooks. She cooks like a fiend, and here's the important thing. You know the number one person to please when she's cooking? It's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't give a rat's ass about what some doctorate guru on TV says about food.
Uh-huh.
She makes food. She makes the food that I like.
Uh-huh. Good.
Here's another fantastic thing. The weather has been up and down, as we've said. It's been hot. It's been cold. Do you know for the last 2 days that it's been burning hot? I've had the air conditioning on. And I've had windows open,
mm-hmm.
and not once has anybody come by and said to me, Mike, my God, the windows are open and the air conditioning on.
Nobody bothered you about that.
Or I've not heard, oh, it's so cold in here, and it's so nice and
warm. Now, one would
outside.
Think, being an elderly woman, that she would be more sensitive to the cold.
No, she put on a sweater.
Is that what it was?
She put on a sweater.
Sweater in a parka.
She put on a sweater. I said, do you mind about the temperature? She said, it's your house. I said, boy, I never hear those words. It's my house. I was able to hide a lie, and I didn't really even have to hide because she would go to her cell, her guest room,
right.
And I would be in my room, and I got all kinds of projects done. And unlike with my wife, my mother-in-law, I guess because she's got nothing else to do, and she really doesn't. She's like Martha Stewart in my house.
That's good.
At this point.
Right.
Except she doesn't have the ankle bracelet on.
But she did cook.
Oh, brother, could you cook?
Really?
So I did this thing. I was taking apart my system with the TV and moving down the audio stuff and tearing stuff out of the wall and pulling plugs out. And she came in the room, and she actually was something I'm very unusual to. She was complimentary of the work that I was doing. She said,
oh,
you're tearing those things out of the wall. That's nice.
So no criticisms of any kind.
No criticisms.
Oh, that's a good thing.
And I found that with the pressure off,
uh-huh.
I did so much crap around the house. It's the only bad thing. Now my wife knows that I'm capable of doing things around the house.
Of course.
Just not when she's riding my ass every second and telling me what a loser I am.
So you got a lot accomplished.
Oh, my God. We have speakers outside that for 5 years we've turned on the stereo. You're supposed to be able to sit outside, have a drink, and hear this stuff.
Right.
It's always been, oh, my baby. Oh, I did. Finally climbed up, took the speakers off, redid the wires, got all that done. Everything sounds great.
Oh, right. Fantastic. And then you feel like a champ.
Yeah, no pressure, no eyes watching me from up on the deck, you know, making sure I'm going to screw something else up now.
Oh, 100 questions.
Oh, a buzz.
Yeah.
No, there were a lot of questions.
There were questions.
I do want to say there were a lot of questions. And I did the power washing thing this weekend, which I found is, if you've got OCD, as I'm sure I do, obsessive compulsive,
right?
It's very hard because I'm doing this area out by our deck, and it's just cement. And I'm trying to get, like, years of crud off with this power washer thing that's hooked up to the hose.
Right.
It's got the motor on it. And the thing is, you can do, like, a strip at a time.
Uh-huh.
You go, wow, that's clean. Look how dirty everything else is.
Right.
Then you do the spot right next to it. Then before you start the third swipe of the area, you go, you know, that second swipe is a little cleaner than the first swipe.
Uh-huh.
So you go back to the first one, and you go, boy, that first one is so freaking clean. And you go, well, now the second one's not even clean. And before you know it,
there's no pavement.
Before you know it, it is clean, but
going
it's only
straight through the dirt.
It's only an area of about 8 inches.
Yeah,
but that's clean,
and you're exhausted.
That's all I've got is one spot where it's clean. And yeah, I went out on the deck, and I busted through a couple of times.
Did you really?
Through the paint, and then once. Through the paint all the way,
a little too concentrated a spray.
I guess our deck is ready to fall apart. I should probably call the county because I was standing there. There was a spot that would not go away.
Out damn spot.
And I'm out of my mind with this power washer, you know, full of confidence from my mother-in-law. And I'm going, and actually burned a hole, an actual hole.
As big as a quarter.
Mike, bigger than that. Big as a Susan B. Anthony doll.
Wow. That's gone, though, I bet.
Now,
but you finished the project?
Yes. All done. Everything is done. I got everything done that I wanted. Nobody gave me any crap about the air conditioning. And she goes to bed at 8 o'clock every night.
Sweet.
I mean, what's nicer than that?
She really does. Turns in that early.
Well, I mean, she goes upstairs and gets out of the way. You know? I mean,
goes to do her thing.
Yeah.
I mean.
She goes upstairs, right?
To read.
Big feather tickler.
Oh, God. Does, I didn't mean that.
Yeah,
I hear
the... What
time do you normally think lights are out for her?
Oh, you know, this is hard for me to say because when I get up early, and a lot of times she's up earlier than I am.
Wow. So she probably does sleep pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Although, the interesting part about living with a senior citizen would be like this morning when I got up at 6. And I didn't hear the TV in her room.
Right.
And I didn't see any lights on. And I went downstairs, let the dogs out, have my coffee, do all that stuff, start working on the show, watch Good Morning America. Gets to be about 8:15. That's when I hope she's not listening now. That's when the thought at least crosses my mind for the first time.
Yeah. Whether.
What if today's the day?
You go in to check.
That'd
do you
be
go a, down to yell downstairs or do you knock on the door?
That'd be a hell of a birthday.
Or is she upstairs?
She's upstairs.
Do you?
That'd be a hell of a birthday tomorrow for my wife for her 50th.
No, that would be terrible. That would be good.
I went upstairs today, and again, I don't knock because, you know, then what am I going to say? It's like, what if she says hello? And what? I said, I just want to make sure you're alive. You know, because I can't do that. So I just hung around.
You can just say, I'm just seeing if you're all right. Everything okay? Everything okay in there?
Nah, I just waited until I heard that industrial
getting
water
strong,
pick.
Full breaths in there?
She's got the world's biggest, like Dr. Evil-sized water pick.
You can power wash your concrete.
And when this baby goes off, man, I mean, things in the house shake. And as soon as I
filled the water pick with red-hot magma.
As soon as I heard that, I knew she's alive. What, she's okay.
What you should do to check her out is just yell up the stairs, I'm waiting on my breakfast. And if you get a reply, then you know everything's
fine. Did she make you a good breakfast?
She wanted to. I don't eat breakfast. She wanted to. She would.
What was the best thing she made you?
Steak.
Okay.
Of course, I grilled that. Right. I don't know, crazy vegetables and...
crazy vegetables.
I don't know, Chinese snow peas, some stuff.
Really?
Some stuff that I never have. That she
everything
made
with a little extra love.
Yeah, like she says, I know you. I made you the salad. It's got the walnuts in it.
There you
got the blue cheese that you like. I said, you know, is that okay?
It's terrific.
Do you like the salad? Yes, love the salad. And, you know, here's the other great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike when mommy's around, okay? So you can follow me this on the weekend. The bar is always open.
Ah, there it is.
You understand what I'm saying? There's none of those social pressures.
Right.
That some might feel at 12:15 on a Sunday.
Ah, so she knocked one back with you.
Baby.
More than one?
My girl. Friday or Saturday night, she started it. I didn't even start it. I said, can I get you a drink? And she said, well, you would be a little late. And she held up her giant tumbler of Manhattan. Or Manhattans, I should say.
Do your conversations over cocktails, do they get a little more involved?
Well, we had a discussion about, one of the things we discussed was the movie Matchstick Men with Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I do want to do is make sure that she is occupied. You know,
So you set up that movie for her to watch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Then I tie her to the chair. If you're good, you know.
Unknown to her.
Yeah.
It's a skillful method of tying.
Right.
Fishing
wire.
The person being confined and restrained has no idea they're actually being confined.
It's only until she tries to get up and she goes, hey, what's cutting my hands? It's cutting my arms.
Well, that's probably, you didn't tie the knot right. If you tie it right, they think it's their own body that's failing on them.
No, we're looking at the grid on, seeing what's on. And she's, I can't decide what to watch. And I'm like, well, you might like Meet the Fockers.
Right.
You know, you didn't like that one, did you? I said, no, I didn't like it. We go to, hey, Matchstick Men. Oh, this is great. Nick Cage is really good. And then, you know, we engage in a little conversation about it. And then the next thing you know, it's like she's watching. I go,
you're going through the DirecTV channels?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just on the whole grid.
Did you get to the 500?
Stop it.
Later.
Sex channels?
Yeah. Spice Platinum.
The sex channel's got to work out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say.
Huh.
I was really
going to bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I was really tempting fate too.
Right.
Because listen, it was.
What do you want to do?
It was, you know, I don't know, 9:30, whatever Saturday night. Not late at all.
Right.
She was upstairs.
The door to your room is glass now.
It is, but.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've been to the house. Yeah. You know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
it'd be terrible if, you know, anything was happening and you get a little.
You know. Yeah, well, you know, she's talked about that. I mean, she when we lived...
Talked about knocking on the door, talked about...
No, don't you remember you? When we lived in the other house in Ocean City, when we used to live right next door to my mother-in-law, she would say that she would be always be careful about coming over and just walking in because she was curious. She never knew, and this is her worries, not mine, if I would be watching my porno.
Yeah.
Like I'm 24 hours a day
very
sitting in the living room with my pants around my ankles, you know, just...
Not that many.
Forget it.
Wow.
We got a break. We'll be right back, friends.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
I miss you. Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids you coming down here.
He doesn't, honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
They go together like cigarettes and chili.
Right.
Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning tomorrow and having a little fun up in New York today. So, I'm your host, Joe Arndt, with you. And we're just going to keep moving it on because we got a lot of good stuff for you today. Let's set this up by saying Don reaches out, touches a hand, and makes a friend. It's the best of Don and Mike.
I love being recognized by our listeners. And once again, you guys, you made me proud. Saturday afternoon, Reston, whatever the shopping village is in Reston. The one by the Giant, the Blockbuster.
Gee, that's tough to find a mall with one of those, isn't it?
In Reston. And it's the ABC store.
Oh, right.
Okay, it's the booze store.
Ah. Well, they're all the same.
But there's not, you know, I go through parts of Virginia, and if I go through Arlington, man, there's like an ABC store on every freaking corner.
Right.
And then you get out by where I live, and they're at least 7 miles apart. I mean,
it's not fair.
The real drag.
So inconvenient.
But I go to the liquor store. I'm going to load up for myself and for my good lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there, and I've got two bottles of vanilla vodka.
Which good lady are you talking about?
Big Frida.
Big Frida.
I'm having to buy some Jim Beam.
Right.
And for myself, I've got two bottles of vanilla vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it down on the counter. And do the swipe thing, and they're great at the liquor store. You really don't even have to make contact with the guys. Like he just rings it up. You do the slide thing with your credit card. About three guys behind. It's crowded on Saturday. There's like 10 guys waiting in line.
Uh-huh.
Only one checker. About three guys behind me. I hear, "Hey, Don."
Oh no! You're buying booze.
Right away, I turn around and go, "Hi." He goes, "Hey, Don." They're all looking at me. I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hold on, because I wrote it down." "Hey, Don, only two bottles?" Real loud. Because I was just standing there holding these.
Yes. You know,
two bottles.
Do you find when you go to the ABC store in general, it's an intimidating place?
Oh,
it is to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just, you can't help but feel like a rummy. And the people that are making you feel like a rummy are the rummies that work at the cash register.
And what I did was, I said to the guy, because the guy was a listener of our show, he wasn't being a jerk. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, you know, it'll save me a trip." And then the guy said, "Yeah, for how many days?"
Shut up.
And I'm still waiting for my credit card to go through. I'm just standing there, and it's, you know, "Please wait, please wait, please wait." And I said, "Well, I'm still holding both of the bottles. I think this will probably last me at least through the weekend." And then the guy says, "Oh, God, I should hope so, Don."
You're not going to get any exchange of humor.
And now,
it's not a normal communication.
Now the people who don't know either of us or know what's going on, all they know, all they think is, you know, Otis the drunk is standing there. and anyway.
What did it look like he was purchasing? Do you remember?
I do.
Smaller bottles? Like maybe pint bottles?
No.
Of alcohol?
I swear to God. He's buying airline bottles.
Really?
Yeah.
It's odd.
There's a lot of people in line on Saturday. I noticed at least 4 of the 10 people that were in line were just buying little Dexter Manley-sized bottles.
Really? What a convenient. Well, some people collect them. I know that. Yeah. Some people do collect them.
That's why they're
mine. I was at my buddy Ed's house yesterday, and he's got a huge collection from all over the world when he was in the Submarine Corps.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don?
Hey, hello.
Hey, Doug. You know what, Doug? Listening to you talk about your mother-in-law, have you ever thought about putting her in a French maid outfit?
He is like he already hasn't done it.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of sexy, Doug. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, let me tell you, the real new number for the devil is actually 916 out here in Sactown, yo. You doing the Sacramento dance for me?
I think you're absolutely right. No, I think you were too good a caller for the Sacramento
dance. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Doing it in his heart.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hi there.
I heard you talking about your mother-in-law. I wanted to share a story my mother-in-law told my fiance, her daughter.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense, right?
And that is that when she was a wife to her father, that she would always have dinner ready when he got home at 5:30.
That's a good lady.
And that's what I thought.
When she was a wife to her father.
Yeah, thank you. I understand what you were saying, though. The dad was like Sam, like my dad.
Yes, and many others.
My dad used to be the biggest bastard when it came to coming home at the end of the day.
He had a great routine, didn't he?
Yeah. Fran would have two, I don't know what they were, vodka and something, maybe martinis, but not martini glasses.
Right.
Two of them in the freezer. And this was the deal between 4:45 and 5 o'clock. It would be, everybody out of the kitchen. Out of the kitchen. I got to get Dad's drinks ready. Out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
My father would come home like clockwork, 5 o'clock every day. He's a government employee, GS-13. Walk in the door, lay down his hat, lay down his newspaper, not say anything to me, my brother, or my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Would go directly to the freezer.
Right.
Open it up, stand there, and pound, pound. It would just be glug,
wow.
Glug, glug.
That so he knocked the first one back rapidly.
I am not lying.
Right.
I'm not exaggerating. He would pound it back. Then it would be boom. That one would go down. Then it would be, how was your day? And, of course, no one was really allowed to say how their day was.
Right.
The only acceptable answer would be fine,
mm-hmm.
To which point my dad would say, good, would turn around, open back up the freezer, get the second one, and head off to have a nice time on the toilet.
Wow.
Nice.
Two drinks and a trip to the toy.
That was it.
Wow.
And then after that, he would come out loaded for bear. I mean,
he'd be ready to go. For dinner, he would be having a good time.
5:30,
mm-hmm.
That's when we'd find out if Dad had a good day or a bad day at work. That's how things would...
So if, like, you reach for a biscuit and your hand was jammed to the table like Luca Brasi, you'd know you had a problem.
Do you remember the time, I think my brother has even told this story, that, I don't know, we were 13, maybe. I was 13, my brother's 12.
Mm-hmm.
And one night at the table, it was just one of those things. You sit next to me and it's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. You're touching me, don't touch me.
Back and forth, yeah.
That's my dad now coming off the second drink in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That was the night that he made this great parental move. Maybe you remember this one. Both of you. And he referred to us as dumb and stupid. And that was, I was dumb, which meant I was smarter than stupid.
Right.
Hey, listen, dumb and stupid. I've had it with this. Right now, both of you, let's go in the backyard. Now, all my brother and I had been doing was like, you know, like Wally and Beaver
goofing,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
having a shoving match.
Like, you know, come on, get off. You touch me. No, you touch me. We go in the backyard, and my dad says, I've had it. You're 13, you're 12, all the time. Go ahead. Fight. So we're standing there, I swear to Christ, on Norbeck Road in Rockville, we're standing there like, what? We were just goofing around.
Oh,
and then
God.
My brother, because he's seized the opportunity,
uh-huh.
Came in and sucker punched me right in the stomach. And the next thing you know, for about 10 minutes, I mean, we were rolling around on the ground, just beating the crap out of each other.
Your dad just standing by as a referee?
My dad just stood there, just folded his arms, had, I remember this to this day, a Lucky Strike cigarette, and he was wearing a yellow golf shirt that had like a penguin on it.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I don't remember what that brand
you
was.
You guys just proceeded to beat each other up.
Beat the crap out of each other. And then after about 10 minutes, I mean, he didn't have to tell us to stop. We were done. You know, like he's the genius father. He says, okay, got that out of your system.
There will be no more fighting.
Yeah. And of course, he was right. It never happened
sure.
again.
Good for you boys.
Never happened.
Brothers again. 2 years apart, don't fight.
Never happened again.
Nip it in the bud.
But oh, it was what was it, Robbie?
Munsingwear.
Munsingwear.
Oh, that's right.
He knew that too. Yeah. Just like you knew the hippopotamus thing.
It's incredible.
No.
But boy,
your father never made you box again, though.
Cinderella boy.
But he was a trip. And now that I think back about it, we're gonna take a break. But we come back. Maybe I'll go back into my memory and try to think how many crazy things my dad would do
after the two martinis.
For Father's Day. After the two martinis, yes. Because now that I think about it, all the really good, crazy stuff that my parents would happen in the late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
After school, after dad got home from work.
After that.
And then...
relaxation time.
And then time for fun. Like, the time that he let me... I wanted a bicycle so goddamn bad.
Right.
I wanted a bicycle.
Fun.
And he said, if you want a bicycle, it's a bicycle you want, it's too expensive, you want a 10-speed, get a job. So I was 13. I got a job at Burger Chef on Aspen Hill Road in Rockville.
You would also work later at Burger King, though, right?
Yes, I did, but I started at Burger Chef.
Burger Chef.
Proud to work there.
Burger Chef came along after Burger King, I think.
Although I think the two actually at the same time, I think in different markets there was Burger Chef and Burger King.
Okay.
Right. And I think later King overtook Chef.
Maybe that's why Burger Jeff gave himself that name.
Yeah, right, because he was like Burger Chef.
Burger Chef.
All I remember is that I worked my ass off over the summer, got the fake work permit to be able to get a job.
Good for you.
And bought the bicycle, and it was $300 back in the day. Right. This thing had an aluminum frame, and I'd race bicycles and everything like that, because I was, you know, just dying for anybody to say good job, and nobody in my family ever said good job about anything.
Right.
So I have this bike, and I was driving down front of our yard in the street, and my dad was out there, and I remember this, between 5 and 6, I know this, on a weekday, and I like gave him one of these, hey, look, I'm driving without my hands,
right.
And hit a rock, and the bike, I tumbled, and the bike was a little bent, my dad stood there, and now rather than, you know, and I'm an idiot kid, who knows, maybe I would do this with my son, no, there's no way I'd be this cruel.
Right.
Rather than say, well, I guess, you know, you're going to have to be more careful, my dad laughed.
Ooh.
My dad stood there and laughed. And then said, I said, what are you laughing
about? Dust yourself off, boy.
I said, what are you laughing about? He said, I'm laughing at you. You can't even control that. And I remember,
every now and then, a man gets rabbit in his blood.
I remember my knee was scraped. I had toe straps on this thing.
How old were you at this time?
13. I had those toe things on,
right,
the
pedals.
Yeah, on the pedals. And when I was trying to get off the bike... My foot was caught in the toe thing,
yep.
And my dad just about bust a gut saying, "You damn dummy! Look at you! Why don't you can't do it?" And I like went Hulk on him. I remember this bike.
That's when you said to him, "Why can't you treat me with the respect that I'm entitled to?"
This bicycle that I had worked the whole summer to get. Just a bite this old man. What? What did Rob write with?
Any other memories of the great Santini?
The great Santini! Tell me when you're down here at 0800.
No, he's laughing, going, "You damn dummy."
Santini, damn dummy.
It's saved for this bike.
And I picked up the bike, and I went, and threw it on the ground, and I mean, the frame was like a Coca-Cola can. It started to go...
So you had a fit in front of your father?
Well, because I had been riding down the street, and he was in the front yard, and I said, "Hey, Dad," and I didn't have my hand on the handlebars,
yeah.
And I hit a rock, and I remember I bent the front tire. I bent
the wheel. Fixable.
The wheel.
Yeah, fixable.
Yeah, right. But he laughed at
the
me.
The wheel?
He my fault. Yeah, I'm an idiot kid. I scratched my knee.
No, but you were going by him, waving at him to show you,
show
your dad,
his approval,
you know, how
yeah.
you were doing, right?
His approval. And then he laughed at me.
I can relate to that.
And then he laughed at me, and I couldn't get my foot out of the thing, and he was calling me a damn dummy.
Yeah.
And then I just picked this bike up, and I mean, I must have smashed it 100 times, if I did 1,000 times.
Wow.
And my father stood there on the front, on Norbeck Road in Rockville. They should have a statue for this guy out there. They really should have a statue. Worst father of all time. Stood there, just looking at me, said,
"Honey, you want to see something funny?" The boy smacked up his bike.
And I remember what he said. I remember exactly what he said. I was crying.
Yeah,
I said,
of course.
Oh, I can't move. I guess that Huffy's not too bad now, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the bike that he would buy me. You know, the bike.
As opposed to how you doing, it's going to be okay, or yeah, anything like that. No comforting. Was he ever a comforter? No.
No. And I remember the bike. The reason I had to have the different bikes, I wanted to race bikes. I was in this club with these guys, and all of their bikes weighed like, I don't know, 14 pounds. I had this Huffy bike from Toys R Us.
That's back when your name was Donnie Armstrong.
I had this bike that weighed like 62 pounds.
Is that heavy for bikes?
Yeah. And way back then, I remember saying to him, I need to get a lighter bike to race. And he would say something along the lines of, that will never help you later in life. That won't help you do anything. Go, if you want to get that bike, earn the money yourself. Mm-hmm. And anyway... Well, this
you could have been the next Tony Hawk.
This has been a great session for me today.
For us, too.
I want to thank you.
Do you feel purged?
Oh, but Mike, I could go on. What is this?
I think
Burger Chef.
We made some progress here today.
A tribute to the best fast food restaurant franchise.
It's the best.
Burger Chef, utilizing the flame broiler developed for Burger King, SantaServe president Frank Thomas opened the successful Burger Chef
with a three-run home run
in 1958. And then they went to Burger King, then they went to Hardee's, then Hardee's was sold, and the last Burger Chef closed in 1996.
After that, Frank Thomas went down and retired in his brother's house.
Who's his brother?
Danny.
I don't think Danny Thomas and Frank Thomas are related. Although maybe Frank had some eggs.
Really?
Danny Thomas style.
And you never know what Marlo's going to leave behind.
The Big Hurt.
Might have been related to
the
Dave.
The Big Hurt. Oh, Dave Thomas.
Right.
That's another. And what about the other Dave Thomas? It was another SCTV guy.
Oh, yeah. One of the McKenzie brothers.
Dave Thomas.
They flew their cousin from England over for the day.
Who's that? Terry. Terry Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Had the space between his teeth from the original.
Hello.
Good pulling.
Hello, this is Teddy Thomas.
He had the Snidely Whiplash mustache.
Yeah,
Snidely Whiplash mustache.
That's eponymous.
Teddy Thomas.
What is that, Buzz?
I said, that's eponymous.
That word is killing me.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Brian, he's here for the assistance job.
Hey now.
Oh, hey now.
Really big fan, Mr. Kingsley.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've been a big fan ever since you hosted Double Danger.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Everybody put on their protective goggles. Let's all play Double Danger.
You really are a big fan, aren't you?
Show me your resume.
Oh, no, you don't have. Wow, personal assistant to Barbara Streisand.
Well, actually, I was the personal assistant to her personal assistant.
And, you left that job because?
Well, I really can't say because I signed the confidentiality agreement.
She made him clean the hair out of her tub.
Paula, the woman wears a lot of hats.
Well, you're not going to have that problem with me. Where are you from?
Originally British Columbia.
Oh, our nation's capital.
The Don and Mike Show. They don't like to brag, but they invented inventing. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And welcome back. It's the best of Don and Mike today. Don and Mike returning tomorrow on Tuesday. Until then, you're stuck with me, the legendary Joe Arndinger, with you on this fine, fine Monday afternoon. Let's get right back into the best of Don and Mike. Don's going to go off on something I think that annoys all of us just a little bit. You know those magnets that you see on people's cars with the soccer balls and the baseballs and the basketballs and all other things nowadays? Well, that's what this is all about on the best of Don and Mike.
I saw a van today. Now, I know you've seen them before with the variations. The big magnet soccer ball.
Yeah.
Yes, and
right.
The big magnet basketball.
Right.
And the big magnet soccer ball.
Uh-huh.
And the big magnet lacrosse stick. Mm-hmm. I saw one of these incredibly junky family trucksters today.
The refrigerator with wheels.
That had every single one of them. And these are, they're about the size of a cantaloupe.
Yeah, I mean, they'll obscure your vision.
I don't know. Well, yeah. They're on the back of the car, so really.
Yeah, they'll still obscure their vision.
But I don't get why you would want this. And I saw the one today that just pissed me off the most. It's a giant megaphone that says, cheer, exclamation point. Now, this tool of a father that's driving this minivan is driving. Now, he's walking around with pants on, and he's got facial hair, so I think he thinks he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving a minivan. Okay, I'll cut him some slack there. When our kid was little, I had to drive a minivan as well. Everybody, most guys have. Okay, so maybe you're one of those hyperactive types that you got to coach everything, and you weren't a good athlete in school, so you got to get a little Johnny in soccer, and you want to show you're involved. It's not enough to go to the game and scream like an ass on the sidelines every week. God damn it, get the magnet. Put that big magnet right there on the back of the car.
Sure.
But wait a minute. Little Sissy, she plays baseball. Let's get a big baseball up there.
Let everybody in the world know as you're driving to the games that you're going to a little league game.
This guy had all of them. But the one that set me off for whatever reason was the giant megaphone that said cheer.
Sure. Yeah.
I swear to God, I pulled up next to the guy and I just mouthed the words, F you. He didn't see. He wasn't looking.
Was really into your breath, or him like, oh, yeah.
No, it was just, it was.
What are you doing to me, Al?
I don't get that. Again, I'm going to have to ask for clarification.
It's family pride, Don.
Mike. It's crap. It's just like, it's not. It's not as bad as proud of our honor student.
That's kind of an old tradition.
I didn't put one on my car that said, proud my kid didn't knock up any girls. That's what parents are really proud about.
That's right.
Proud my kid's not on crack. I mean, I could give a rat's ass what kind of grades your kids get in school.
Oh, now stop that. But, of course you cared.
But I'm not upset about that.
But you liked it when your kid excelled academically.
But I never put a bumper sticker on my car that said...
You're giving a free pass to the honor roll student bumper stickers. Are you or not?
Even that, yes. Okay.
I agree with you about the soccer balls. I mean,
but hold on.
Why do we need to know?
But this was too much with the soccer balls.
Yeah, because
this guy in the green Plymouth minivan had, I'm picturing it now almost as if I'm talking to the police sketch artist.
Right.
Right side of the back panel, it was football, basketball, soccer ball. Middle, right below the window, big, gigantic megaphone cheer.
Uh-huh.
To the left, I believe a volleyball.
Right.
And then a baseball bat, and then a lacrosse stick. All of these stickers taking up the whole back of the car.
Yeah. Rob's parents used to drive around with a Reese's peanut butter cup with a bite out of it.
Right. But why?
That
kind of
tragedy mess.
They were
a tragedy mess for theater arts. Exactly.
Tell me why. Some of you loser parents. Please tell me why. And I'm not trying to come in every day trying to alienate our audience.
It's called pride.
It's called pride.
And I'm not trying to be devil's advocate with you every single day. But it's, they are living usually vicariously through their children. And what they're doing
is freaking transparent.
It's the look at me. Why do they have vanity tags? Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants attention.
Okay, you can have one. You can have one if your kid's in soccer or whatever. But, I mean, where do you draw the line, really?
This is part of his constitution for when he becomes king.
Yes.
You are not allowed to have two bumper stickers.
Do you see this, Your Honor? When I was at a stoplight, I drew this today.
Wow.
I drew this picture.
Wow, that's obnoxious.
And you know what this looks like? This looks like the picture of Michael Jackson's penis. the accuser.
And you know what it is? No. It's also greed.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's the diagram, and I wrote myself a magnets on cars. Then I wrote the yellow ribbons,
uh-huh.
Okay, heart in the right place.
Right.
I was at a light for a long time.
Yeah, some of them are.
And I wrote everything, and they were cheer. And that's the one I just wrote, worst ever.
Do you think the schools sell these to raise money for the sports teams since they've cut back on funding? I mean, it still looks like a tacky refrigerator with too many magnets on it, but do you think that's why they have
them? Maybe they do, but what would push somebody to the point where you've got to have six of them, and then a big dumbass one in the middle that says cheer.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you
what the mindset is. What the mindset is, it's the parent that has a kid that's a cheerleader, has a kid that plays soccer, has a kid that plays football, and he wants everybody, he's so proud that he's got this big family mm-hmm. with this diverse group of interests mm-hmm. that he wants to plaster it all over his car and shove it down your throat.
That's what I guess. Yeah. It's cheaper than body work. Maybe it's covering dents and scratches.
No, I don't think so, Rob.
Was it a new minivan?
No. How do you tell?
Yeah, you really...
I mean,
exactly.
Once you get a minivan...
Exactly. Yeah. Time warp.
Right.
It's like a minivan from the 50s.
First time they came out.
A late model.
The death of the American auto industry began right
You're
there.
You're right. Please explain that to me. Somebody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Good.
You know, if you've got one of those Snickers, I'll even cut you slack on that.
Have you seen the one that's got just the two fingers with a cigarette burning in it? that's a good one. And then it goes EM underneath it. Initials EM.
What's that for?
ES. I'm sorry. Early smoker.
SIT smoker.
Start them young.
Smoker in training.
That's why they had Joe Camel. Cartoon character appeal to children.
That's right.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
I'm the parent of a 9-year-old smoker.
Hello.
That's an interesting.
I would applaud that on your license plate. You've got to stay away. I'm bad to that.
Also, I have the.
I think somebody's probably processing those right now. Why don't we? Can we go back to the where the Keebler elves are
Proud parent of a future smoker. Proud parent of a future alcoholic.
How about a French fry magnet that says UA, underachiever?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Definitely, these kids are going to grow up to be in a rehab because if you look at the kids inside, they're all like worked out, like listening to their Walkman, playing video games. They can't even play the sport. The parents are pushing them, I bet.
You know, it's funny. I've got mixed feelings on this because really, my sister didn't have the car plastered with stuff, but they were. You want to talk about the definitive soccer mom? I mean, she had the club sticker and the soccer.
Again.
And you know what? I mean, just let me finish because what happens is, you know, I was always kind of like quietly kind of mocking that, you know, the fact that they never had holidays with the family because it was always a soccer tournament. It was soccer, soccer, soccer. And my nephew now is in his sophomore year, and he's starting at Colgate University for the soccer team. So the end of the rainbow for them was you know, he came out. I mean,
let me make this distinction.
Yes.
That even if someone has, and I see these everywhere, this spirit for the high school, the Cougars, whoever it is.
Right.
Okay. I'm talking about stickers that are made for preschool kids.
Yeah.
These are not sophisticated.
Big, generic.
You're not talking about getting your kid into Princeton or
right.
some school with a lacrosse scholarship. You're talking about little Johnny who still can't go to the bathroom by himself,
mm-hmm.
who's standing out there at the mm-hmm. T-ball stand. I understand it. That's why these magnets that I'm talking about, they're like things you could hang in a 2-year-old's room.
Right, right.
And these adults are driving around with them on the back of the car. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Cheer. Cheer for what? Cheer for you to get in an accident? Okay, that I'll do.
You know we're going to have some people calling in that are going to defend these stickers.
I hope they do. I hope someone with half a brain on their
head. But it seems to be the guy that had all of them was doing the greed thing.
Yeah.
Look at me. I have them all.
Hello, Don and Mike. And I would like some of those people to call in.
I collect them.
If you got a whole bunch of them, tell me. I'd like to crawl inside that skull. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw you the other day, Don. You got one of those stickers. It says, my kid knows how to spell, spend $700 in gas in 1 month, Bob.
Some people never forget that ruse by your son where he spent the $700. Dad, I just went to work and back.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
He was getting bad mileage.
Hey, you know, get a real one. I would be for that. You know. My kids lied to me about money. You know,
yeah.
Put that on the back of my car.
My kid's a vandal.
Hello. Don and Mike
Parent
Show.
Of a vandal.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, that's right. Don't forget when he changed the Ocean Pine sign to Ocean Penis.
That's funny.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
I've got only one on my back, on the back of my car, and it is the cheer one. I'm not defending it, though, because I actually cheer my daughter's cheerleading squad, and I just kind of got wrangled into it, and now,
Wait. You cheer your daughter's cheerleading squad. What is that?
I'm sorry, mean? I coach it. I coach it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're the cheerleader coach?
Homo. Yeah, right. Yeah, like I know anything
homo.
About it.
So have you,
homo.
Do you have experience?
Homo.
No, not at all. And I have to nickname a team bitch, actually.
Homo.
Team bitch.
Homo.
You've got balls to call.
How old are the girls for that?
I have the girls on the squad are anywhere from 7 to 17.
You don't have to keep a sign in your front yard, do you?
Yeah. I'd like something from Law and Order.
So is the magnet a fundraiser? Do they sell those to raise money? Or where do you get that and why?
No, ours were given out by, I'm only assistant coach, ours were given out by the head coach.
Wow, so he's not even a head coach.
You're not even the main guy.
No.
And the reason that those were given out was?
I guess so. We all of us idiots put them on the back of our car. I don't know.
You sound like a guy who's desperate to get out from under.
I don't know.
I mean, you're listening to this show. It sounds like
it. Just, are you in your car right now?
Yes.
Is the sticker on the back of your car now?
It is.
Come on, pull over.
Is it a sticker or a magnet?
Magnet? Is it a magnet?
No, it's a magnet. Yeah. I actually have the sticker one, too, with my daughter's name on it. So.
You don't, how's that? Explain that. How does that look?
It looks exactly like the magnet one, only it was imprinted by some company with my daughter's name.
Okay. So you drive around with your daughter's name on your car?
Yeah. Get the worst up.
Does your daughter like it?
Yeah, actually, she loves it.
Then what the hell? Then go for it.
Well, why don't you at least pull over and take off the cheer one?
Yeah. Keep the one with your daughter's name on it, but, you know, take the magnet off.
I think at least
for the rest of the show.
I think that's kind of retarded to have your kid's name up there.
Do you have an extra one of the stickers?
No.
If you did, do you agree if the kid likes it, what the hell? The kid likes it, you know.
No, I mean, really. And there was not a more doting parent than me, a kid that I could not have been prouder of, and God knows I talked about him enough. But I would never, even back when he was at his most precocious, when we really thought he was going to amount to something. We were really proud of him. Even back then, I would never put a giant sticker on my car that says Bart.
No.
I mean, what kind of dork?
This kind.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? So you drive around a big sticker? Julie.
Uh-huh.
And the significance of that is, please just explain it to me. You have your daughter's name on a megaphone magnet on the back of your car because?
Because, again, it was a gift, and so it's my daughter, you know?
It's magnetic, and it's stuck. Are they all daughters in your family?
Yeah, I have two daughters.
You have two daughters, and he's perhaps outnumbered.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Well, you should pull the car over, at least take the cheer one off.
Take that one off. Tell your daughter it was drawing attention away from her name.
That's a good reason, Buzz.
Okay.
Tell your daughter you're a man.
Yeah, I feel bad for
you. Yeah.
When's the last time you got to do something you like, sir?
Absolutely.
Actually, I grew up with five sisters and I was the only boy.
Oh my God. My father wasn't around. All right, wait, what do you have to do today? What are your responsibilities? Who are you picking up today?
You got to go home and wash out some panties and then get all of the pantyhose, put them up, string them up on the shower.
Right? Seriously, what are your duties today? What do you have to do?
Refresh all the potpourri.
Actually, I work very long days, so I haven't seen them in 2 days.
You haven't seen your kids in 2 days? See, he's being honest.
He's being honest because he does anything to get out of the house.
Right.
Exactly. Well, listen, if you're working that hard, you haven't seen your family in 2 days, for God's sakes, you know, don't let the guilt make you put those dumb magnets on your car. Mm-hmm. Why don't you put a magnet on your car that says, I'm busting my ass to provide for my family. hey, Julie or whatever your daughter's name is, Daddy's not here because he's working. I mean, put something on your car that makes some sense.
What time are you due home, sir?
I'm sorry?
What time are you due home?
I left early today, so I'll probably get home about, 6 or 7.
If it's 6 or 7, why don't you do this? Why don't you plan on just making a diversion, stopping off at a happy hour from, 4 to 9, and then say you got caught up at, Rob's right, 10 o'clock. No, damn it, it's make a night of it.
It's on us.
I mean, really, let the happy hour run into the whole evening.
Yeah, you know what, I think I should do that.
And then sleep in the soccer car.
Yeah, because you're probably all tense. It's not easy being a nurse, is it?
A male nurse. Are you a male nurse, Walker?
Very close, actually.
Really? What do you do? What's your profession?
I actually work in organ and tissue donation.
You work in organ and tissue, so you're handling organs and tissues all day?
Yeah.
Well, right. See, that's a relatively cool job.
I feel really bad. I like this guy.
You should take
He's just got to be freed.
Take some pride in the fact that you're a man.
He's oppressed. Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
You should put a sticker of a liver on your car.
You know what? And there's only one kind. There's one kind of bar he should go to.
What's that?
He should go to a strip joint.
You know, that's one of those things, I guess, that for the homo button, I've never actually been to one of those either. So.
Homo.
Hold on, you've never been to a strip bar?
Not even Club Wet?
No.
Rob, only we know here in the D.C. area that that's the number one gay club.
Yes, but it's a very good one.
And we've been there. I mean, we have with our gay and lesbian listeners.
That was another bet. I think it was a bet I lost.
Yeah, one of the ones.
You lost one, too, didn't you, when we went down there? Why'd we go there twice?
Once for fun, I think.
We went. No, did we?
Once
no, we lost
we had
bowling.
To for bowling.
Right. We lost bowling to the gay team.
That's right. And then the other one was you had to go down to the Billy Idol vest.
And wear just a vest with my shirt off, right?
Yeah, for an hour.
God, memories. And I sat on the one side of this gay bar while all my buddies were sitting on the other side, like back with their backs to the wall, just looking at me and laughing.
Part of the bed, Mike.
Right, watching it.
It's part of the bed.
It was disturbing, but my God, this man needs to be freed.
Yeah, it's something.
Right.
You got to take this. Listen, really, it's going to be so freeing for you to take that cheer off your car.
Where are you calling from?
I'm actually leaving Fairfax, heading out west right now.
Okay. Oh, man. Tell me you're not on 66. Keep driving.
I took 29. 66 is awful.
I'm not trying to like get your address out, but
go west, young man.
You're out where all those homes have been pooped out over the years.
Almost to Winchester, the end of 66.
Oh my God!
Easy commute. Do you drink?
Yeah. Do you drink at all?
I'm sorry.
Do you drink?
Actually, I'm on call almost all the time, so when I don't have call, yeah, I actually do.
Just listen to me for a second and think about this. Now, you don't really have to do it, but just bear with me for a second. This is something I've learned through my acupuncture.
Go ahead,
about getting to the inner you. Really, even though you're not going to do this, I'm going to try to walk you through this. Okay. Imagine for a second what a release it would be. If I was to say to you, you could just get in your car right now and keep going west. And go all the way to Las Vegas, or go all the way to San Diego, or go all the way to Los Angeles, or go to freaking Mexico. You would say, no, I couldn't, because I've got my family, I've got my job.
Right.
But really, if you really wanted to, you could.
You know
what a little thrill for you might be tonight? When you get to whatever your exit is, why don't you just go? Go for a half hour. And for a half hour... You really think for a half hour, I went past my exit.
Yeah.
I really could if I wanted to. Tonight could be the night that I could end up in San Diego.
No, good. He eventually turns around, but that half hour would be liberating.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, just the fact that you realize that you really, you know, come on, you're going to go back home because you love your wife and you love your kids, and we're going to help you through this awful thing with putting these dumb stickers on your car. But you got to know that. There's always that option.
Sure.
You could always just get in your car and never come back.
Can I offer another suggestion for this guy?
Oh, and it wasn't a suggestion, unless you really feel strongly about it.
Here's what I think you should do. Sir, you work hard, right?
Yes, I do.
Make a decent living, do you?
I try to, yeah.
You got a little money set aside, maybe just a little something that, you know, I mean, obviously she demands it, right, your wife?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, why don't you buy a motorcycle?
You know what? I actually drove past Patriot, and I was just thinking, my God, how nice would that be?
Well, and you work with all the organs, so that would come in handy for you. They got that plug-in. They didn't give me a discount. Anyway,
I mean, really, but Mike, that is...
We're all telling this guy things that for him are fantasy. I mean, I'd say...
I like the exit.
I think it's a bigger fantasy for him to buy a motorcycle, you know, than it would be to just go 30 minutes past his exit.
Well, but yours he can do, and mine he can do. Mm-hmm. He can do both of them, and I think he ought to do something. Now, listen, going to the bar, getting drunk, we're being funny there, but really, this guy needs to do something for him.
And let me ask you something else. And really, I don't recommend this for everybody. But in your case, I'm going to bring this up. Have you ever had a piece of ass on the side?
Wow.
You know, as Daryl Nichols used to call her.
Right.
The old regular.
A gumar.
No.
Okay. You know, if all else fails, let me just tell you, in the phone book, if you look under massage, a lot of times...
Not really.
It's not really a massage, if you know what I'm saying.
And you should be specific, since he works in tissue donation. You don't literally mean a piece of ass.
A woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Clarify that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just got to do. We've given you all of the options, all of the various vices.
I think these are all solutions. We've gone through alcohol, prostitution, infidelity, motorcycles, and abandoning your family by driving to Mexico.
Okay.
Or San Diego, which is real nice.
Start with that exit.
America's most beautiful city, San Diego.
And I'll just put it all together. And maybe a tattoo, too.
A tattoo?
Now, that's
brilliant. Don did a tattoo. Buzz did a tattoo.
Now, look who's thinking outside the box now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Literally.
How about this? You stop the car right now and just go take the cheer sticker off.
Yeah.
Come on. You're going to feel good.
Can you do that for us right now?
Yeah, I got no problem taking it off. I'll just stick it on the next guy's car. I don't care.
On the next guy's car.
I forgot things. When you get a tattoo, don't get a tattoo that says cheer.
No.
Don't get a tattoo that says, like, baby on
get
board.
Get a skull. Get a skull.
Skull like you have on the back of your motorcycle vest.
Yeah.
Do
you see my motorcycle up close? I got a skull on the vest. I got skull grips.
I didn't notice that.
Skull running boards, skull shifters.
I did notice yesterday.
Skull break.
You put your vest on. You got like the big, gigantic, like the Jolly Yo-Ho-Ho skeleton head.
Yeah, the skull.
Yeah.
And man, I love it. I do love it. I seriously know now why. I told somebody this, that it is... Somebody said it's more addictive than crack, and it is absolutely the most addictive thing I've ever done. I love it. I think about it all the time. I'd like to be on it right now. It is the
best. You know what you should think about then? You should think about starting to crack. Because imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you said it's better than crack.
Right.
Then you could do crack and I ride your motorcycle.
Because I wouldn't be addicted because the motorcycle would be more addictive.
Right.
Right.
That's so you could enjoy crack.
You know what I'm seriously thinking about doing?
Or crank.
And please don't laugh at this.
At what?
I'm thinking about starting my own motorcycle gang.
Why would I laugh at that?
Because I just think it would be, you know, when you see...
Who'd be in the gang?
Well, I'd like to get you to ride. Because I'd like you to be in the ground. And I'd like,
no,
you know,
can do.
I'd, you know,
no can
here's
do.
What I'm thinking, though.
Dude.
You know how I have the skull on the back of the vest?
Yes.
I'd like to have, like, my own vest. You know, like when you see all the really cool biker guys, they've got the, like, for example, the Marines have the leather necks. And they've got the leather neck thing. And then you've got the Renegade Pigs. These are this police motorcycle gang
right.
that comes in to the restaurant once in a while. And they've got the thing that goes over. And you see all these guys, you know, and then you get the really bad guys, of course. But I don't want to be one of the really bad guys. But what I have, really, what you saw yesterday, store-bought Harley-Davidson gear. You know, it can have all the skulls at once, but it's not real. You know what I mean? It's got...
You want to start your own gang.
Murdering mimics? I don't think so, Rob. I don't think so. But I'd like to start my own gang. Founded 2005. Are you going to get the love and hate knuckle tattoos?
No,
this is not faking. I'm talking about my own gang. Club.
Hey, hold on a second.
I want my own motorcycle club.
Hold on, I've got something. Some guy that I know who actually knows about such things.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcycle terms for Mike.
Oh, good. Why don't you give them to me and see if I know what they mean?
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, all right.
Do you know what a cage is or a cager?
No.
That's a car. Okay. Motorcycle people call cars cages, metal bars all around you, and one who drives a car is a cager.
Uh-huh. Rob, it's not going to be the raging restaurateurs.
Good, though.
No. That's a cage?
Yeah, hey, hold on. I just forgot this guy is still on the telephone.
Oh, my God.
Are you still there? Did you take that sticker off, that magnet off?
Yeah, I actually just put it on the dump truck at a stoplight.
Now, don't you feel better? Now we're cheering for you.
He didn't really do it. He's just fun on us.
You didn't do it, did you?
Yeah, I actually did.
I think you did.
I'm going to look for a bar on the way home.
There you go. Good luck to you, sir.
All right, dude. Thank you for the call. Bye-bye. I'll pray for you. Listen, just let's leave him with a bit of advice from each of us. My bit of advice to you would be, remember, go past your exit tonight.
Mine is...
Nobody's stopping you.
You know, really, take the course. Start looking at bikes.
Okay.
Mine is find a substance they can't detect.
And Rob, give in. Get a sex change.
We've all tried to help you, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of stuff to decipher, but that's all right.
And the wild card prostitution.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, and also, if we're going to go that road,
right?
You might want to think about it. It's also a great way to go out. Mm-hmm. If you really want to go out in a blaze of glory.
Sure.
What you would want to do before the COB today, before close of business,
mm-hmm.
you want to clear out every dime in all of your accounts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go to Vegas
mm-hmm.
and bet everything on black.
Yeah.
One bet. One spin of the wheel.
Right. Just sit there. They got the red next to the black. You put it on black.
And if it's a winner, then you call your wife.
Winner!
And you say, honey, guess what? Our lives are changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving to, you know, where at Bora Bora.
Right.
And if not, well...
Yeah, that's when you have to take the black pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, then you find out you can really live on the street in Las Vegas mm-hmm. and make quite a nice living.
It's
and when the weather's comfortable.
Yeah, nice but if you can get to San Diego, it's a better quality of life.
Oh, America's people. Most beautiful city.
Yes, beaches. And softer. All the homeless people go there.
Yes. A lot of Mexicans in San Diego. Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's okay.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a lot of Mexicans everywhere now.
Of course, absolutely.
Everywhere.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think in Vermont, though.
Not yet.
I don't think so. I think like Vermont and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Too many Canadians up there.
That's
though.
Right.
Too many of those people.
They're hard
too many
to spot.
From both
all right,
borders.
Now you're going into a totally different
they're
area. Now
we're coming in from both sides.
We're giving some decent
Mike.
Advice to this man, and we finally go. We're going
people
down this highway
this country
again.
From the south.
I understand.
And from the north.
I know. Just maybe somewhere in the middle. Then have him live in Iowa.
Well, no, he'd kill himself in Iowa.
Or if we want to seek revenge, send him to Mexico and steal their job.
All right, dude. Listen, what can I say? What can I say to you?
Thanks, Donna, Mike.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
I think it's all been said.
Bye, then.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Hold on, Joe. Is this from you?
What?
Joe, you got to come. Goodbye, my friend. Good luck. Let's pray for that guy. What was this?
That's Mike's motorcycle gang.
Is this from you?
The Manassas Charter, yes.
Let me see.
There you go. Joe just worked that out for you.
The big pussies? That's nice. Thanks, Joe. Always nice to have Joe. That's wonderful.
I do have a real suggestion for a name for you, and it's a pun.
What's that?
The Hard Livers. Because people who live hard.
I like it.
And people who have livers.
I'll figure it out. I'm going to start it.
It's better than Joe.
I'm going to start it.
Who's going to be in your gang?
I don't know. That's the tough part. I might have to audition. You know me enough, guys. Like have a theatrical audition.
You sitting in like a... You in the third row of a little
like
performance.
Like a chorus line. With a durag. With those little half glasses on my nose and a clipboard.
Michael Elston!
You'd have to have a cigarette at least as a prop.
Right, exactly, with a cigarette holder. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll call you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It'll be fun.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melted chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here.
They have a thin candy shell. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has a shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right, it's the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning tomorrow. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Arnger, with you.
Hi there, Joe.
Hey, Rob,
doing?
What's going on?
It's your old buddy, Rob.
Howdy.
Well, it's nice to see you, too.
Good to see you.
Yeah, Joe, you always say the nicest things.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Say, what's going on?
Not much. Just
thanks.
Doing some
listen,
best.
Terrific. Joe, I was just in the neighborhood, and I just wanted to remind you that this segment of the Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Head-On. Head-On products are available without a prescription at retailers nationwide, so be sure to try Head-On today. Okay, Joe?
I sure will, Rob.
All right, Joe, try to do better.
I will. Well, there you go, everybody. A surprise visit for one Rob Spiewak. Anyway, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. Now, you know, a lot of us hang out on Cancer Corner out there. Mike decided to give it up. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Now that we can continue, Mike, you were saying?
All right. This is also something that's significant. To me, it is.
Uh-huh.
I have, all right, in the past, I have smoked cigarettes. I'm not proud of it, but the truth is that I have, and all through the years, my entire adult life, I have gone to varying degrees of smoking.
Uh-huh.
Degrees that never made the process of not having one a big deal until now. Oh. Yesterday, I was on my second full day, and Joe Ardinger said to me, the second day is the toughest day. The second day is not the toughest day. I will inform everyone the third day is the toughest day.
Wow.
I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, now I'm talking about my weight, too. I gained a pound. That's to be expected occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little cheat over the weekend. Gained a pound. Now, just let me finish, please. I come in today to the studio.
Say nothing.
I'm trying to do everything right now. I'm trying to do the diet, and also trying to get out of this because I really think I was kind of getting really badly hooked. So I'm trying really hard not to do this. And I look, and I come walking in, and You're having a little like something. You're having a little munchy something, and you never have a little munchy something because you've lost all your weight. I look over. Buzz has these free wings that we got, and then I go back in the producer's
room.
That's what
room, I had.
And that's when I had
a goddamn chicken wing with Buzz.
That's when I had my. Don't be confrontational with me.
Well, why are you throwing me into the car?
Because I'm not. I was given. It's a compliment. Jesus Christ. You never eat
about,
anything.
Is this about
you
smoking?
Never eat. You never
yes.
eat.
Is this about
do
smoking?
Do you anymore? You don't eat. We get free food brought in here.
Not here.
Once in a blue moon.
Not here.
You'll have a little something, but you don't. You really don't because, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and Buzz has, you know, lost his kind of weight. So all of a sudden I'm sitting here and just had a little bit of a moment. And that's why I was kind of goofy at the beginning of the show because my body right now is craving everything.
I know. I understand.
My body is craving
tiger.
I know everything right
tiger.
Now, and it's
tiger.
Pissing me off.
I know
tiger.
The feeling.
Tiger. I'm in your corner.
No, I know. You said something very nice not to get fazed by the 1 pound gain.
And I'm going to say to you something a doctor wouldn't say to you. Something a doctor wouldn't say to you.
What?
You're trying to do too much at once right now. No. Hold on. Hear me out.
I've been doing the diet for...
Hear me out.
I know.
Hear me out. Hold on.
No.
You're committed to the diet. Good. You've stuck with the diet at least a month now. You've been talking about it on the radio. Really no BS. That's great. I have heard you quit smoking over the last 5 years 50 times.
I have quit.
Okay.
I've quit for two years at a time.
Mike, here's what I'm saying to you. No doctor will say this to you. You're doing great on your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Have some freaking cigarettes if you want to.
Because it the amount that I have been smoking got to a point, that's why it's hard.
How many?
I've quit smoking.
How many?
Look, I have prided myself over the years when I want to stop, and I'll go 2 years, I'll go a year. But when I stop, it's nothing. It's no big deal.
Not before
I don't
now.
Quit with a patch. I don't use sleep writing down. It wasn't 7 packs a day. It was not packs a day.
How many cigarettes would you?
On a
really
weekend, if I was out at a social function during the day, I could do 2 packs a day.
Oh my God.
Conceivably. Oh, my God. But very rarely. No, not rarely. God damn it, I'm telling the truth. So it got to a point where I just had to stop. And now, because of that, I realize it's harder than it ever has been.
Oh, dear.
It's a health thing.
But no doctor is going to say this to you, what I'm saying to you.
I know, but it's too much at the same time. Uh-huh.
As your friend.
No, see, there's one thing I can still do.
I know.
I can still have a little toddy once in a while.
Okay.
But in the 3 days, I haven't had a toddy since I have gone, and I'm very worried about, as soon as I have a little cocktail, that I might do that.
You're making lots of hand gestures here. You haven't
had a drink.
You haven't had a drink in 3 days.
Well, I mean, it's not that I'm quitting drinking. That can never be done.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest.
Okay.
I mean, really, there's no real need for it. I'm high functioning. And that can never be done. Uh-huh. But the food thing I have to do, and the cigarettes I have to do.
You know, as your friend, yes, if you want to do that, great.
I think I know what I'm going to do. I know exactly what I'm going to do. Got it all figured out. Got it figured out. I'll smoke those. You know, they're bad for you, but they're not as bad for you. I'll smoke those things again. I was smoking those things before, months before you started that habit, and I should go back to it. I should go back to
cigars.
It was like 11 or 12 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Yes, when back then you said, I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes.
And I started, and I did it.
I'm going to smoke cigars
instead. I did it by smoking cigars. And now I should go back and do that. It was a combination of food and all that. And occasionally it just gets you all simultaneous.
Sure.
And that's why
it's
not like I'm sitting there having a nervous breakdown, but I kind of wig out. I get almost more energy for the show than people are accustomed to me having.
I know all about this.
Yeah.
You're all accustomed to me having a certain energy level in here.
Right.
It's like borders on sleep. and I come in here and I shouldn't, be too energetic.
No, you be energetic. We're all for that.
Sure.
I'm just, what is it?
But,
are you tired now?
No, the thing is...
Are you tired now from being energetic?
Wow.
Oh, please.
Now the crime.
Sweet
brother.
Sleep. Sweet sleep. We happen to have a ton of food in the producer's room.
There's food here every day, though.
Just about. Well, now the junkies are back. There's food every day.
Yeah, there's free food every
junkies
day back
get
there.
Get food all the time. And,
right.
And
so
is this, more power to them.
Is this crisis about food or about cigarettes? Pick one.
It's they're related. They're interrelated because I looked at the food, and as soon as I realized that, in previous times, if there was food, I'd say, hey, cool, I'll just go out and take my mind off it. But you know what? I'm just in a space where I'm going to try to do it simultaneously. No. And the fact that I was up a pound after, you know, one...
Okay,
that happens to anybody who's
dieting. That's retarded. That's like being a Elizabeth Hurley or something. That's like,
but
that's
you've
like,
dieted,
oh my
you
God,
know, you go up sometimes.
One pound doesn't count.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, you step on the scale tomorrow, you'd be down a pound.
Yeah.
Listen, go outside. Smoke 8 or 9 cigarettes at once.
I'd kill for a slice of cigarette pie. Delicious cigarette pie with whipped cream. No problem at all. No, just, just gets you a little bit. Gets you a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm fine now. I'm glad you let me get that off my chest. I feel better because I'm purging.
Well,
it's good
hang
that we
in
know
there.
That.
You know, hang in there. That's and, you know, we support you here no matter what you want. If you want to have a birthday cake today, have a birthday cake. If you want to have a cigarette, if you want to have a carton of cigarettes today, what the hell? I mean, even if you fall off for one day.
1 week till the big day, actually. The big day? 7 days until the Jubilee. Isn't that what you said it was going to be, a Jubilee?
The celebration, right. The annual.
That's something I'm going to hang on.
The annual celebration.
That's something I'm going to wrap my arms around and hold tight to. No pressure.
You're pathetic.
Hey, what else is new? Like, that's changed? Like, in the 20 years or so, it's like that hasn't changed? Of course I'm pathetic.
Okay, but...
But I'm proud to be pathetic.
And lovable.
Lovably pathetic.
Well, let's see. Okay, you know, that's what
you know,
we're
if you were
company.
Saying that, if you said that to me with that outfit you were wearing yesterday, Buzz, I'd be a little bit worried. You shouldn't be.
I don't, Rob.
What?
I do not hope I get a Philip Morris gift certificate. I hope I don't.
Anything you like.
I don't want that.
Wouldn't that be nice? But, you know, I think you had it right, Robbie.
A nice Marlboro jacket.
Robbie, I think you had it right about the cigarette pie.
Yeah.
We get nice, Mike, a nice Terrington pie. Parliament 100 pie.
Hey, there you go. You remember the flavor. Thank you.
You
had to say it, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right.
A nicotine reduction.
Man,
first thought.
Smooth stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
The blue and white box. Kids like those. You know.
Sure, they're cheap, aren't they?
Sometimes kids are smarter than we are. The youngsters. That's what the youngsters move on.
Okay, Gramps.
Yeah. Druggies.
Druggies.
Damn druggies.
All right,
too many.
Hell, everybody's calling. I bet everybody's calling about falling apart, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
Mike, I was just going to say, don't be so secure in your drinking. You were saying you're not worried about it. But, my mother was very high-functioning. Not trying to bring you down or bring the show down, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, she owned a restaurant. She did well, prominent person in town, and she had a cirrhosis of the liver and ended up passing away just from casual drinking, everyday drinking. So,
and you know, you know what she said on her deathbed? I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
She said to the priest that was there, she said, "The only thing that'll make me happy, I'm an old dying woman,
mm-hmm.
is if somebody, please, anybody, stops my retarded son from calling the Don and Mike Show after I'm dead."
Yeah,
and that's what she said.
If I can help one person in society, that's Mike, and that's
well.
There
you
we
know,
go,
sir. I would venture to say, with all
that's crap.
With supreme,
if my retardedness can help out, I'll do that.
With that's supreme crap. Respect, casual drinking and cirrhosis of the liver, you know, don't go hand in hand. I do not drink every day, sir.
And I know you're wondering, sir, so I'll tell you.
He hung up.
Oh, no,
you're there.
Because I was going to tell you.
It's probably correct me if I'm wrong. That was probably casual drinking every day of her life.
She didn't drink a lot. She was a small woman. She'd have, you know.
Yeah, she wasn't that small.
Did she drink every day? Did she drink every day? Every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there's a big difference.
All the guys were asking me, though. Mm-hmm. All the guys were asking me, saying, was she better alive or dead?
Oh.
And I have to say, really, and this is a, what do you got there, Joe?
Nicorette?
I don't know.
Thanks for walking right in the middle of that. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I'm not doing anything here. I'm just standing here every day for 4 hours. Just walk right in the middle as I'm telling the guy it was better to make love with his mom while she was dead than while she was alive. Just walk right in and give Mike his Nicorette gum. Thank you.
That's pretty bad. I'll talk to you guys later. Just wanted to share that with you.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks. Pep talk over.
And Pauly Shore, thanks for walking in the room, jury duty.
Thank God, though. Seriously, the justice was served today that he's not sitting on a jury.
That's a big crisis call I got from Beth Ann this morning. Yeah. Hello, she's on the speaker.
Don?
Yes, it's me. You call you. Yeah, I want to say to her, of course, you know, yes.
Don?
I go. Pick up. Then you hit him. Joe will be in today. No. Yeah.
Is she a speakerphone person? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, I didn't know that there was a problem with Joe. She said, jury duty, jury duty, jury duty. And, you know, then I vaguely remember that B.A. wrote Joe a letter, I guess, to the judge or something.
Oh.
And apparently he may have been called to jury duty. And frankly, I don't care. Is Joe going to be here? Great. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Sure. Spare me the details. But the good news for Joe is that he was telling us before the show today that he didn't even have to step up and say that the name of his favorite book was F.U. Judge.
Or that he was a member of the Manson family.
He didn't have to do any of that because they made a plea agreement, I guess.
Ah, that happened. So he didn't. He's done. His duty to society is completed.
But he was recognized. He was happy about that. He was recognized by someone else on the jury.
And what charge did Joe have to plead guilty to? Forget that agreement.
He pleaded out. Exactly sure what he was pleading out, though. But.
Was it a hung jury? I always think that's the dirtiest terminology.
And we had a hard time picturing Joe in court, maybe being on a jury. I had asked him, I said, did you wear your suit? He said, no. And Mike said, did you wear what you have on today? Which is like
he's got his Venice Beach outfit on today.
Yeah, he's got the shorts and the crumply shirt.
And a Seattle T-shirt with a big fish on top of it.
And he said, no, I wouldn't dress like this to go. But then we never found out how he dressed.
We didn't find out what the outfit was.
I mean, it was probably like his Kevin Arnold Wonder Year shirt, right?
He pleaded not coherent.
That was the bulletin from Beth Ann today. Joe will be in. I repeat, Joe will be in.
He's here. Thank God.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
God, he's here.
Joe's here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
Hey, man.
Don, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys ever heard about that nicotine water. You ever tried that?
I know. Man, there's only one way I know how to do it, and that is without any assistance. I do it cold turkey, and I prefer it that way. I really do.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, nothing funny to say about that. That's the way I do it. I just do it, and give me 2 weeks, because that's how long it takes. If I fall off the wagon within 2 weeks, then I fall off the wagon within 2 weeks.
Okay, here's all I want to say to you. No, really? Can I speak to you from the heart for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Just for a second? Have you ever thought about this?
What?
Smoke break? Smoking break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke break is the revolutionary tablet for smokers. Available now at fine retailers. Now I don't have to read this during the news, right?
Great. They haven't gotten their mentions over the years.
Tonight? I don't have to read it tonight during news?
No, smoke break.
There you go. Okay, done and done. Thought about that, Mike?
I'm thinking about Donnie Break. Donnie Break. That's when you occasionally slip me one of those fine Dominicans you got so many of. That's what I'm thinking about.
A cigar. Really? But a doctor...
We used to bond over cigars a long time ago.
A doctor will tell you, I'd be glad to have a cigar with you. Well, I don't smoke during the show anymore.
No, I'm just talking about bring one in occasionally. It's always nice. You know, I'm asking. I'm begging.
Okay.
I'm pleading. Do you have any onion?
Sure, I'll bring you something.
One of those small ones.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Loaded with nicotine, though, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's also not... It's not the same.
It'll still kill you.
It'll still kill you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, everything will kill you.
Right. That's but cigars will kill you.
Yeah.
Just like cigarettes will kill you. So what the hell?
So maybe I should just bag the whole thing?
That's kind of what I told you 20 minutes ago, at least for now. You're doing great on your diet.
Do you feel as though you're addicted to cigars? There we go. Let me turn the spotlight on you. Do you feel as though it's an addiction?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
And you know what you got to do?
You don't inhale them, though.
Well, sure I do, Mike.
You do?
Absolutely.
Really?
No, God, you throw up if you inhale them.
No, yes. My paternal grandfather did.
No.
Some people do.
It's just, it's moderation. That's something I've always had a hard time with, but I'm learning it, Mike.
You know what my father used to tell me?
For you with the diet, what?
He used to say moderation in all things, including moderation.
Fair.
I love that quote.
Yeah. You know what my dad used to say?
What did he used to say?
You damn dummy. You're dumb and your brother's stupid. You damn dummy. You know the only reason we adopted you is that nobody else wanted you.
Here's a cigar. Shut up.
That's a quote from Sam.
Damn.
The great Sam Source.
Way harsh.
No kidding, SF. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike. I believe I have a solution for your excessive energy.
Rob.
Maybe you should consider borrowing some of Buzz's non-addictive smoking products.
Yeah, they work.
Something to relax. No, he's talking about something else.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
Something more relaxing.
I was thinking about something else. I won't go there, girlfriend.
The binky that didn't really work out.
Don and Mike show. Oh, no. You are publicly going to... Are you going to denounce your binky?
I'm not going to denounce it. And I may go back to it again someday. And that's really kind of the scary thing about it, is it's very easy to make the transition to the binky, back to cigarettes, back to the binky. It doesn't make any difference.
You should describe your binky. It was this thing that was released nicotine.
It's a little white cartridge that you put in your mouth, and it gives you something to hold, for those of the people who like to hold a cigarette, and it has a little nicotine cartridge in it, and air passes through it. There's no smoke, so there's no health damage to you. You just continue to feed yourself the nicotine to which you're addicted. And so, you know, whether I get it from the binky or a cigarette, it just depends on the day.
You know what you're hearing on this show?
It was shaped like Michael Jackson's penis.
Sounds like we're playing a tape from a round table at the Betty Ford Center.
Hold on.
My name's Buzz.
You don't hear this at the Betty Ford Center. I would say to both of you guys, Buzz, mm-hmm. You're in good health.
Yes, I am. What, best of my life.
You're over 50?
Yes.
Smoke.
Thank you.
Go ahead. What the freak do you care? Mike, you're great on your diet. You've never stuck to a diet. You're sticking to this one. And you've quit smoking 8,000 different times. You've never really have committed to the diet. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Have a cigar. Have a cigar. Have a cigarette.
I'll have a cigar.
Well, there's no cigars here right now, so have some cigarettes.
Jesus!
Have some cigarettes.
We're going to torture him.
Nice.
Come on, who's going to be honest and say that to you? Who's going to live the freaking perfect life? You mean to tell me that you're not gonna eat bad food, you're not gonna drink bad stuff, and you're not gonna smoke?
Drive too fast, whatever.
Really? Come on. Please. It's like the Ten...
Just kidding.
Like the Ten Commandments.
Right.
There are just too many. There's two or three that really matter.
Well, I mean, there's so many things that are out there. So many things.
That's right.
And there are people that can do without them. I know. There are plenty of people that can do without them.
You know who they are, Mike? They're strong people, but we are weak people. And there's no reason that we shouldn't stand up for all weak people and say, listen, like, for instance, drinking. Hello.
Yeah.
Let's turn the spotlight on me for a second.
Oh, Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
I don't mind telling you. I drink every night. I drink every night. I'm not telling you that I drink Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh, got something to do Thursday. Drink right. No, you know if I got something to do Thursday? I come home. I have a drink. I do.
Yeah, but you don't drink to excess. You don't binge.
Describe binge.
More than four drinks.
No. No, I don't. No, I don't. But if I get real drunk sometimes, if I had nothing to eat on, too,
mm-hmm.
I get just as drunk on, too.
Sure. But you stop there.
Yeah, well, because I pass out.
You can't hold the glass. Yeah,
right.
That's right.
No, listen, all I'm saying
is... We're surrounded by vice.
There are a lot of people who are going to say, I'm an alcoholic. I don't give a frig what anybody says. I drink because I like to drink. I smoke because I like
so
to smoke.
So do I.
So live your... Live your freaking life.
That's right.
All right.
And do what makes you happy. But you seem to have a handle on the weight thing now, so stick with that.
Oh, incidentally, and greetings to that asshat that's in town, that supersize me doofus. Doofus Spurlock, or whatever the hell his name is.
Morgan Spurlock,
uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I eat a double quarter pounder with cheese and I throw up. Ooh, because you're so healthy. I mean, I buy everything the guy said in his documentary, but don't give me that crap. Go home to your emaciated wife who makes you your bean dinner, your bean dip dinner.
That's right.
And then he eats a quarter pounder with cheese and he goes, oh, I'm going to throw up.
Right.
I wanted to reach into this movie screen and pull him out by his throat. I did too.
He ain't happy.
No.
He ain't happy.
Oh, it's just so horrible. And if they say supersize it, I'm going to supersize it. I just didn't like the guy. I liked what he had to say,
here's my
but I didn't like him.
You are like me in this way. You're trying to eliminate these vices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
Not all of them. I mean, I got one. I got one big one.
Right. For me, the losing weight, that was gigantic. But I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to lose weight. And... For instance, stop drinking, which my wife always says.
Okay.
She always says to me, you know, if you just stop drinking, you'd lose that last 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to turn around and smack her with a vodka bottle.
Right.
I really do.
Because
I got to, I will go nuts if I think there's no way to get out of this. You know what I mean? If I go home at the end of the day right. and I'm standing there and it's like, and listen, I'm sorry, the prescription stuff, just don't do it for daddy,
mm-hmm.
okay? I've had the pills. They don't work.
George Carlin used to say the first guy probably looked around and thought, this can't be it.
Yeah, you know what? I could quit drinking if my wife left.
Right.
But because my wife is there,
mm-hmm.
I drink. No, I would drink if she's there.
All right,
or not.
I'm not going to go. I'm not going to have a cigarette.
And I don't want to encourage you to do anything you don't want to do.
No, but, I'm not. But I am going
but
to.
But you need to have, God.
Have a stogie.
All guys got to have.
One or two a day.
A release. I mean, at the end of the day, even on your best day, you get home at the end of the day, and if you stop and really think about how crappy your life is, man, you'll sit there and you'll go nuts. What are you going to do? You go, okay, get high. Oh, can't get high. Have a drink. Oh, can't have a drink. Oh, have something bad to eat. Oh, can't have something bad to eat. Right. I mean, what are you left with? What are you left with?
There's...
Climb up on top of a roof of a McDonald's.
Well, there's sex. There's sex. There sure is.
Yeah, for some.
Yes. You pretty much have shut down the room on that one, Mike. Sorry. Because we're all getting laid so much.
I'm sorry.
We're all getting laid so much that, you know, man, we're sore. We're tired and we're sore. Jesus, that's why I drink so much, because, oh God, I'm worn out from all the sex.
You can depend on alcohol. If you have a good day, it helps you celebrate.
I think people that are getting a lot of sex need alcohol. I think people that aren't getting a lot of sex need alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol.
I think, really? Hold on. How about sex?
Do you think that in the best case scenario,
what?
Sexually, if you have the greatest sex life in the world, do you think that honestly that's good enough to supersede, you know, eating bad, drinking whatever, that type of thing? You think it's enough? Is it enough? I don't know.
It would have to last longer.
Right.
Here's the thing.
Exactly.
It's the greatest payoff in the world.
It is.
Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. You know, and for those 5 to 8 seconds, however long it, you know, I mean, really. Right. And I've thought about this before, after the act,
mm-hmm.
on the occasions that I've been involved in such acts. I've thought afterwards, after, you know, after it's
right,
you know, yeah. daddy's time, during those 5 to 8 seconds, really, someone could come in the door
oh, yeah.
with a machete
mm-hmm.
and it could hold it up to my head and
been
say,
done.
Hey, I'm going to cut your head off. And you know what I would do? I would go, oh, let me just finish this. Really, no matter.
It's always so easy to whack those guys in the movies when that's
right.
happening.
Yeah.
Whack, so to speak. But this is the problem when you're trying to debate sex against other vices.
Yeah, it's not fair, really.
Sex just don't last. I mean, unless you're one of these idiots that, like, is Fabio, and you're going to be a liar to yourself and build up the romantic angle and the foreplay. Now, listen, you know what?
Thing.
You know, yeah, you know. Yeah.
No, but even if you are, a superhuman person, it's also not something that you can do, you know, with the frequency, even if you're, you know, I mean, with that. I mean, I'm sure there are guys going, hey, I could do it 11 times a day if I was allowed to. And I'm sure you're pointing your butt.
Yeah, he could. Listen, hold on. Even if you could,
he loves that. You know.
Even if you could,
he totally loves that.
Even if you could do it 11 times a day.
Uh-huh.
And let's say, Max, you're Superman. That for you, the crescendo lasts 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the solid 10 seconds where really you lose your head and you're like, mm-hmm. no pun intended, you don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
What is that, Robbie? That's
66 seconds.
Okay. Uh-huh. There you go. That's your payoff.
Yeah, you're right.
66 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, please.
A good drink.
It can last 15 minutes.
Right.
And then you do the buzz off the drink.
Never
10,
does, though.
5. On a Saturday, too.
This is good therapy, though, because I feel so much better.
Oh, good.
I've forgotten all about him.
And as far as...
Until the commercial break, and then it'll all come back to me.
As far as sex and alcohol, I still need the alcohol for the other person.
Dynamite, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
103 FM.
Making that trip on around town, we still have a little bit of a problem. This is on the inner loop in Maryland after the merger of 270. Your left lane is blocked. We had an overturned trash truck there, and that's still causing significant tie-ups. Do you have baseball fever? Well, so does Twix. That's why they're giving away the ultimate sports party package. Go to Twix.com and enter to win a 42-inch HD TV, $1,000 cash, and more. Enter today at Twix.com. I'm Michelle Hughes on the Donna and Mike Show, Free FM 106.7 WJR.
FK.
106.7
Free FM. Okay, Dad. Are you ready to see your surprise Father's Day gift?
Open your eyes.
Hi, Dad.
All this for me? Not the girls, the hot tub from Paradise Patios and Spas. Girls, show them what else you get.
Oh, wow.
It's a Norelco Body Groove Shaver. Great, huh?
What about the girls?
Win Dad a bunch of great gifts. Minus the girls. Listen to the Junkies to qualify. Mornings on Free FM 106.7 WJFK.
Try a new Dunkin' Donuts smoothie in one of three delicious flavors. Strawberry banana, wild berry, and mango passion fruit. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
My name is John Ivy. Getting diagnosed with a deadly cancer was bad enough. But not getting the medicine I needed because I personally couldn't afford it, that was more than I could face. But today, I'm enjoying life, thanks to the pharmaceutical company, Novartis. Not only did they develop the breakthrough medicine for my kind of cancer, they also developed the innovative patient assistance program that helped me get that medicine. Today, my cancer is in remission, and all I can say is, thank you, Novartis, and thank you again.
Novartis is proud to be the innovative force that's bringing new hope and optimism to millions of patients. No one can promise what the future holds for any cancer patient. But today, John Ivy is enjoying life and getting the medicine he needs.
If you think a company like Novartis is too big to care about a patient like me, think again.
Novartis. Think what's possible.
Who can tell me which servers fit my agency's needs and my budget?
What do I need to do to make teleworking secure?
How do I stop security threats before they become problems?
When federal IT professionals ask questions, CDWG delivers answers with the solutions, expertise, and fast delivery you need.
Can I get everything I need in one place and just one call?
Is it possible to work with people who understand the difference between the public and private sector?
CDWG's account team works with you to solve problems and provide solutions, all on contracts specific to your agency.
Is there someone who can help me build my enterprise architecture?
Who will make my mission their mission, and where can I find them?
CDWG, the right technology, right away.
For deployment flexibility at an affordable price, look to the HP ProLiant DL145G2 dual-core rack mount series server. With 1U compute nodes and AMD Opteron-based platforms, visit CDWG.com today.
Here in America, we celebrate our holidays big time. They got feasts and fireworks, parties, parades. But you know what? There's one holiday that doesn't get a whole lot of love. Dia de Padre. That's right, Father's Day. Compared to most holidays, Father's Day gets squat. Sure, Christmas deserves the lights and the tree and blah, blah, blah. But what about the guy who put up the tree? What about the guy who put up the lights and threw out his back doing it? What about the guy who had to be yelled at by your mom while he did it wrong? Huh? Even Groundhog Day gets more attention. This June 18th, by the way, that's Father's Day, let's make Dad's Day special with an award-winning HBO original series on DVD. Shows like The Sopranos, Deadwood, and The Wire are full of fighting, shooting, swearing, even whacking. Basically, stuff Dad would love over and over again. Each groundbreaking show is a great way to give Dad his due. Because Father's Day is an important holiday. It's time we start treating it like one.
Sir, you own this business?
Yes, officer.
Have any idea how slow you're going?
How slow?
Using that dial-up connection.
Am I breaking some kind of law?
Failure to switch to Verizon Business DSL. Failure to work efficiently. Passing on a low price. Working without business-grade features. Without 24/7 Verizon support. And that file you're downloading?
Uh-huh.
How long has that dial-up kept you waiting?
A few minutes.
DSL takes seconds.
But this is going to cost me.
No, sir. DSL lets you off easy.
Verizon Business DSL gives you the speed you need for as low as $19.95 a month and speeds up to 768K when you sign up for Verizon Freedom for Business and select the one bill option. You'll even get up to 12 months for the price of 10 after rebate with qualifying purchase. Just call 1-877-739-2DSL.
You could work online while you're on the phone.
Oh, that's actually legal?
It's encouraged, sir.
Wow.
Call 1-877-739-2DSL today. Verizon.
DC customers only. Requires one-year contract, monthly supplier FUSF and tax recovery charge. Applicable taxes and early cancellation fees apply. Speed not guaranteed, not available in all areas. Rebate offer ends 6/30/06. Other terms and restrictions apply.
I don't want anybody to look at my ring and go, you know, my girlfriend has that one also.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry customer, Denise Passmore.
Their selection is huge. huge. They have unmounted, mounted. They have gemstones. They have everything. We found our jewelry store, and I will keep going back to them. And I have told everybody I know, go to Jared.
Jared has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores.
They have a really nice selection of unique pieces. Like I said, I don't want what everybody else is wearing.
With the help of our experts, you can design a ring at Jared by choosing from hundreds of settings in gold or platinum. Then select from our vast collection of independently certified diamonds. Be sure to see our superbly crafted ideal cut diamonds. You'll be amazed by the beauty of the craftsmanship. Begin your design today at Jared.com.
It can only be Jared.
In Waldorf, Maryland at Waldorf Marketplace on Westbury Road. Also near Dulles Town Center by Tyson's Corner in Fairfax at Arundel Mills and near Towson Shopping Center.
This one's for Dad.
He's the one you can rely on, the shoulder you can cry on. He said to stand your ground and never run away. Well, he taught you to be strong, showed you right from wrong, and you know you can't deny him on his special day. So give him something special. Have an Outback Steakhouse Father's Day. Celebrate Dad the Outback way. It's the perfect way to say we love you, Dad. The Outback way.
Treat your dad to the bold, fresh taste of the Outback. Open at 11 a.m. this Father's Day.
Have an Outback Steakhouse Father's Day. Celebrate Dad the Outback way. It's the perfect way to say we love you, Dad. The Outback way.
No rules, just right.
It's the adventures of Super Commuter.
So I was driving alone to work one day when I realized I was tired of feeling frustrated by my commute.
Oh, so tired.
I wanted to make a change in my life. I wanted a better way to commute.
Change ain't got nothing on you.
Right. So I checked out Commuter Connections, and that's just what I did. I discovered a better way to commute and save big time on gas expenses.
You're a pioneer.
Actually, it's easy. Just go online to commuterconnections.org or call 1-800-745-RIDE and choose alternative commuting options that are right for you.
Blaze that trail, Super Commuter.
Look, Commuter Connections is free and easy. They've got info and assistance on carpooling, park and ride lots, HOV lanes, teleworking, public transit, and bicycling, and it's all backed by the Guaranteed Ride Home program.
You too can be a Super Commuter with Commuter Connections.
I'm Wink Martindale, and it's time to play Take On Orbitz, the travel game where you could get $60 off the next trip you book on Orbitz.com. Today's contestant is you. That's right, you. There are two ways to play. Text message the keyword TLC to number 63411 or log on to Orbitz.com and click the TLC tab. You'll get a promo code for $60 off your next trip. Orbitz TLC alerts are up-to-the-minute travel information sent to your cell phone, PDA, or email. It's like having Orbitz's team of air traffic controllers and weather analysts in the palm of your hand. You've got to experience it. So play today's game. Text message the keyword TLC to number 63411 or log on to Orbitz.com and click the TLC tab. Next time, Orbitz and go.
No purchase necessary to obtain code. Book by 62506. Valid for travel 91 to 1231.06. Pre-net minimum stay. Other charges may apply. See Orbitz.com for details.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Yeah, I just turned 25. Will that lower my rate?
In fact, it will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Tom and Mike Show. WKOK.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
This is a perfect chance to get you kids some nice church shoes.
What do we need church shoes for? Jesus wore sandals.
Well, maybe if he had better art support, they wouldn't have caught him.
The Don and Mike Show.
Using their words to thin the herd. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right, right. Don and Mike returning tomorrow. Got best of today on this beautiful Monday afternoon going into evening. Let's get right back into the best of. What do we have here? Oh, it's one featuring me. It's me, Joe, and the working man on the best of Don and Mike.
People are in for the evening.
might have said try, but it sounded like tug. You're right. Like tug better.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hi, B.A.
Hey.
Would you ask Joe, please, what is the deal? I don't want to take any calls about these moron disc jockeys in Baltimore. The people are calling, like, on all these lines. They're at it again. Just ask Joe what's up with that. Would you ask him right now just what's going on?
Okay. So what's going on with all these calls from Baltimore about the midday show? He's got some Fritos in the
room. I don't want to take these
calls.
Joe, what is it? What was it today?
Oh, apparently they called you guys fat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe, let me give you a direct order.
Okay.
When people call you and tell you something like that,
mm-hmm.
you just hang up. I don't care.
Okay.
Those guys are no talent hacks who will be out of a job before.
And they're desperate to promote their show. I'm done promoting their show on our show.
Yeah.
I'm really over that. I'm really,
really
over that.
So they said we're fat. Oh, God, my feelings are terribly hurt. Then listen,
hey,
guys.
The other guy, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, did a whole thing on me being fat. I didn't even bring it up, all right? I'm done doing that. Why should we, with our ratings, give publicity to other shows? It benefits them more than it benefits
I'll tell you
them.
What, those boys, obviously the program director has the hotline. Boys, if you really got something to say to us, be men. If you want to get on the radio and pretend that you're rebels and that you're crazy guys and, oh, we don't make any money, but they make millions. Oh, it's really not fair, David and Goliath. Come on, call us up. You want to call us fat? Call us up on the air.
Do it here.
We'll have a discussion with you. Otherwise, shut your friggin' mouth. And Joe, don't be so stupid as put these people through.
Right.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
God knows we will have important disc jockey battles to fight in the future.
Yes, someday.
This is not an important disc jockey
Absolutely.
Battle.
Absolutely. It goes on and on.
It sure does.
And it gets tedious, just a little tedious.
And that's the only thing that I will mention.
See, it doesn't ring anymore.
About this, when we had the PD, the chick PD yesterday from Baltimore, when the whole topic of that station was brought up and why the radio press was around, her whole thing was, oh, those guys love you. Well, no.
That's the two-faced nature of the whole thing.
No, they don't.
It's crap.
And frankly, they're not worth our time. They're not worth our time.
Bingo. That's it.
Do something. Get a rating. Get a listen.
Right.
That's it. Goodbye. Goodbye.
We almost succumb every time, but we're not going to do it this world. But no,
I know, because it's...
That's it. 15 times.
I know, because it
talking
is.
Talking about them.
Because it is David versus Goliath, and I don't care that they're presenting themselves that way. They deserve to be stepped on. Really, they do. No talent freaking hacks. Think you want to set the world on fire. Ooh, shock jocks. We'll say anything. We'll do anything.
Never had the pleasure.
Try it, boys. Try it. One day try being honest with your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Or call us up. You could certainly be honest on our show. You don't have to be phonies on our show.
Your boss has the number.
Yeah. Tell your boss. Tell your boss to call. Okay, now that we're done with that. And thank you, Joe, for putting those calls up on the screen.
Joe.
We're looking for people watching the goddamn ballroom dancing show. Meanwhile, I got 10 mouth breathers from Baltimore all on the line going, who said you're fat?
Yeah. I think subconsciously Joe wants those calls on the air.
Yeah, I know. He hates those people, but he loves those people.
Right.
You know, and Joe likes to stir it up in here.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. But I think he knows now.
Well, I'll probably have to talk to him during the break, just to make sure.
Okay.
You know, one of those father-son type chats we
sure.
have.
Sure. Take your belt off.
Take him out to the woodshed. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
If I really could take Joe out back and really just whip him. I got a good, big-ass, heavy belt on today. That would be a good way just to get some frustrations. Okay, now, Joe.
The woodshed.
Okay, Joe, now listen. I don't have to see your bare ass.
Right.
Just pull down your pants, do your underpants. Okay.
Whack.
Boom.
I was thinking the back, but yes, the bottom.
Well, see, the back could lead. I mean, what do we do when he goes to the pool?
Yeah, right.
And the neighbors say, oh, my God,
right.
What happened?
Investigations.
Right. That's why you keep
his back looks like Denzel Washington's in the movie Glory.
Yeah.
Oh,
or his ass would look like that.
His ass would look like that. Yeah. That's
because
okay.
I've learned that from Law and Order, and that what you want to do is you want to hide the marks.
That's right.
So that the marks cannot be seen.
Right.
So it would have to be mainly, I would guess, in his reproductive area.
Or you bring in a Board of Education.
Oh, the Board of Education. That's
and after
great.
Everyone, he has to say, please, sir, may I have another... please?
Oh, Joe's trying his hardest.
He is.
He is. I'll say that. We get 100% of him every day.
Always.
Which is about 10% of what a real person would give us, but he gives us his 100%.
He digs that, though. He digs the whole thing.
I know. He likes the fighting.
Right.
He loves the fighting.
Joe. My man, Joe.
Your man, Joe.
Yeah. I think you said it all, Mike. I think you said it all. Tomorrow on the show.
You know, I do like Joe. Joe and I have very good... We do have conversations more than we used to.
That's good.
And you know, Joe, when he came here, Joe and I were... It was me and Joe when this whole thing started with him working for us. Remember doing our little Charlie things?
That's right. I remember that.
And it's only after, like, we reached, like, the halfway mark when I really hated him, and then it's like moved. It's worked its way back.
You grew weary.
But then when he did the big pussies motorcycle club, then he knocked it back a few pegs.
He's just Joe.
He's just Joe.
Just stirring it up.
He can't help himself.
I know.
Ed Buzz, you're always there to defend him.
I think he's a good guy.
And that's, you know, that you're good and loyal like that, a good loyal friend.
I think he's actually very intelligent based on the conversations I've had with him off the air. That's how I know how intelligent he is. And I respect that, and I admire that, and that's one of the reasons I like him.
So the on-air Joe is like a character?
Let's say that.
Rob, why don't you come to the microphone now when you're having that discussion?
So you're saying Joe's like Paris Hilton?
In a way, yes. And I think we should embrace that and celebrate that.
You think this is... okay.
It's a ruse.
He's coming in now.
Here comes Paris. Hi, Paris.
That's hot.
there she is.
Hey, looky here.
What you got there?
That's Jenny Finch. She's a softball chick.
Looky Lou. Oh, look at that. You got that off the intranet, Mike.
I think that's the big superstar.
What channel is the women's softball on, anyway?
It would be a channel before Into You, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
206. Something called ESPN.
And is that a new channel?
Married to a major
that's
league
a new
player.
Channel. It's a brand new channel, Buzz. It's just come out.
Ah. So, Joe, is this a character, this role you play on the show?
No.
Buzz is telling us that he has deep intellectual discussions with you off the air.
Great conversations.
Great conversations.
We've had great conversations. You remember, Joe. Well, perhaps he doesn't remember. That's entirely possible. He may not remember the conversations, but we've had them.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking Miller beer hat, though, you have on today.
Well, thank you.
All right, get out of here, Joe.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
Bye-bye.
Just like Paris.
He is impossible to hate, though.
Yeah.
He is impossible to hate.
Oh, well, that's because...
I've tried like hell to hate him.
I know you have.
For years, I've said he is sweet, doughy-headed Joe. Yeah. Not a hateful bone in his body.
Oh, now see, you're wrong there. It's because Buzz and I get more of those conversations than either one of you guys.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I get those out in Smoker's Corner.
But his head is full of dough.
Yes, but you should hear his... You should hear him. You know how you rail against the man, Rob?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, my God. I've heard that lecture before from Joe. About the man.
Oh, he is the railer against the man.
He's right. Joe's like one of those guys that you see outside who was never in the service, but they've got on the old war surplus stuff.
Yeah.
Sitting out front just going, you want to know what's wrong with this country?
He rivals Chris Owens when you get him really going.
Really?
Yes. Am I right about that, Buzz?
I think it's a fair statement.
I think
Chris Owens is the angriest person here.
Chris Owens is known as Grumpy Chris Owens. That's his official name.
You get Joe going, and that's on those discussions, he's got some interesting things to say.
I think a great cable panel show would be a Joe, Wendell Hall, and Chris Owens. Those three. And just give them an hour.
Sure.
It wouldn't go an hour. There would be gunplay.
There would be shooting.
Absolutely, there will.
Good TV.
Hours and minute 13, there would be a falling corpse.
I'll just say this to you, and then we'll close. Oh, here, I was going to say every show needs a
He's
Joe.
He's coming back in now.
But here he is now. Hi, Joe.
But I'm not angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, about certain things, aren't you? Certain issues?
Yeah. Put your headphones on there.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, you are angry.
Put your headphones about the man.
There is anger in you.
No, I'm just political. I like to weigh the political seesaw of life.
But don't...
There he goes again.
You are angered by things.
There he goes again.
No,
what?
Not really.
Are these the deep conversations you talk about, Ben?
That's a very insightful comment.
But Joe, but you do hate our listeners, at least the ones that call all the time?
No, not necessarily.
No, he hates the callers. Right.
Joe, you do hate the man.
No, I don't. I finally settled up with the man. Everything's cool.
This is news to me.
Are we talking about the man in general, or are we talking about Michael Hughes, the general manager?
Oh, no, I'm cool with him, too.
Wow. You're cool with
Hughes? This is all new to me. Yeah, I'll continue this. I'm going out during the commercial break, and we're gonna have a follow up.
All right, we'll get out on the couch, lay down, and Mike will be out there to take your thoughts.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Joe and I do some bitching together.
Hold on, come here for a second, Joe. Really? I mean, now...
How did you settle up with Hughes? Did he buy a T-shirt?
I would normally ask you this off here. Yeah, but I'm going to ask you on air. You're not kidding me? Like, you and Michael Hughes are okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, what do we have in common? Nothing. I'm not going to hang out with the guy.
Right.
So I might as well go along to get along.
You've come to accept him for what he is, right?
I got my money back from when I got stiffed for the 2 weeks of pay. You know, I went out and earned it.
Oh.
Took a part-time job. Thank you. But I got that back, and, you know, why hold on to it? It's like Cameron.
Let it go.
Why hate Cameron?
Well, because Cameron's stupid.
Yeah, I'll write you a letter.
That's no reason to hate somebody, Don.
Sure it is.
But you don't hate me.
No, I don't, but you're not the program director.
Oh, okay.
I don't think of Cameron as the program director, so I don't hate him.
All right.
I don't hate him either.
See, if you can do what I do, you just don't even think of him in those terms.
But if Cameron was smart, he would put me on for 2 hours in the middle of the weekend, and I would straighten this town out.
Thank you. All right, Joe. Thank
he would
you.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's enough now.
Goodbye now.
What's going on?
And that's when you have a problem.
What's going on with him?
With Joe?
Yeah, because
I don't know something. Buzz would know better than I would.
I am telling you, brilliant. I am telling you that up until as late as last week, mm-hmm. I would just have random discussions. How you doing, Joe? And always be like, "Effing Michael Hughes. Mm-hmm. I hate Michael Hughes. Other than the fact that Michael Hughes is a jerk, everything's okay around here."
You know that's what I got from that? You're right.
And I, of course, would always say, "Joe, if I ever hear you speaking that way about our supervisor again,
as you told us all,
I am afraid I'm going to have to write a letter." And
you do the slap with the backhand.
Yes, that's right. Just gentle like Burt Reynolds though, with that guy on the movie line.
Get his attention.
What I got from Joe last week, you know, Hughes came by my office and he always sticks his head in to say hi because we're very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as he goes by and waves and I say hi, Joe says to me, he says, "Like to see him say hi to me." And it's like, okay.
But he's okay with it now. He's come to terms with it.
Well, it's happened in the last 6 days.
Yeah, apparently.
Mm-hmm. I guess you and I don't talk to him enough, Robbie.
Well, maybe we do.
No one does.
There.
But I will say this. He's sounding more and more like Mike doing Joe lately.
I'm confused by this whole thing with Joe. I don't know where this came from. This is not the angry young man that I know.
Got a part-time job, thank you.
Find out about that, too.
A courier.
Steve was like working in a porno store.
And what he had some other cliche, something like it's water under the bridge.
You got to get going to go going or something.
Yeah,
you got to go along to get along.
Right.
Well, what the hell is that?
Along with the man. You go along with things to move forward.
I know what that is. What I'm saying is those are
like Steve Johnson who just walked by the window. That is his mantra.
Yeah. Nobody does it better.
You have to get along. You got to go along to get it.
That's not his mantra. His mantra is next time, not so much ice.
No, but Joe's never.
No, it's actually two words. Just enough.
Joe's never been one to toe the company line.
Well, I don't think he is now. He's just okay with it. He accepts it for what it is.
Maybe he's getting ready for married life.
Oh, no, we keep forgetting about that.
When's that happening?
Or I don't know.
Have they set a date yet?
I don't want to ask him about it, because the last time I asked him a personal question, he told me that thing about his girlfriend.
Hey, look who's back.
Being sick. I don't even want to mention it. Hi, Joe.
Listen, if I'm in jail, I'm not going to flick off the warden.
That's right. Is that another say flick off? Bit of wisdom.
Flip off, flick
flip off.
Off.
Flick off.
Shake off.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me?
Because between the two, you make me laugh.
You're killing us, Joe. Okay, so I got it. You're just going through the motions now. You don't. You, on the inside, you still feel the same way about the guy.
Not really. I've just been beaten down.
Listen, all of us. I don't want you to be on an island out there alone. I don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. Our general manager, Michael Hughes, he's a snake. He's a reptile of the highest regard. He only comes out at night. He sucks blood out of people. He's the worst. He's the worst.
But here's the point.
I find it a pleasure to work with him.
I enjoy every minute. I actually enjoy my discussions with him.
Total professional.
Yeah. With that in mind.
Jerk.
With that in my mind, I enjoy my conversation with him. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my mind, I hate to say this, I never know what's going on. Always
the
keep
thing
an
was,
eye on
what
him.
Happened to me when that word got out, we all got suspended for 2 weeks, is that that is a flawed principle of the company. It's a flawed way of the company of dealing with something like that. And you can't get your point across when you're not even allowed on the property for 2 weeks. And then when you get back and you're trying to get back on your feet financially because it's been ripped, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's been ripped from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have time to deal with it then.
Right.
And then once you get back on your feet, who cares? It's just another day in paradise.
Okay.
What was your part?
Sure is.
Job?
Does anybody follow anything of what Joe
said? Oh, I totally know
what
he's saying.
I know we do, but what
he disagrees, as we all do, with the way that they do that.
But what was unexplained to the listener is that, you know, like whenever that was on vacation time from 3 months ago, a bad word got out during the best of, and they suspended Joe and Beth Ann because the word got through without anybody hitting the button.
Right.
So that's what you were uptight about, upset about.
Well, no, I mean, it's just that. To deal with something so petty in such a harsh way, when we're all coming out of this as a nation, it's not Janet Jackson time anymore.
Joe,
I think the country is getting past.
May I just
more
say
important
that,
things to worry about.
That I think that, you know, that's a dangerous word. Okay, it's not a little word, Joe.
What?
That word that got out on the air. It's a dangerous word.
Please. I got religious neighbors who are like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Dude, really. I mean, now I'm not kidding you. You can't, you just ask Ron and Fez, even in the
I know. It's a
mistake.
So flawed.
You can't let that word get out on the air. I mean, when it happens, they do what they do.
Yeah.
They do what they do.
I disagree with the action that was taken, and I disagree with the way it was handed out. And you know, the part of the disappointment is knowing that nobody around here is going to stand behind you, and that's when you start to feel like, well, hey, I'm on this island, you know, so... Where do you go from there? Well, you just pick it up, dust yourself off, and get on with it.
I totally agree with him. All you can do. I agree with what he just said. That's actually the most sense he's ever made on the show.
Okay. I don't even have anything to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
No need. He said it all.
You said that's a...
No, but that thing about you pick yourself up, you're on your own. You are on your own.
It is what it is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But, you know...
It's the way you got to live around here in this atmosphere.
I hate arguing. I'm going to do what Mike does, devil's advocate.
Right.
You know... If you just hit the friggin' button, we never would have had that problem.
I know, but, you know.
Okay, so take some personal responsibility. I had to take personal responsibility when it happened to me, and so did Mike.
Mm-hmm. And so have Ron and Fez.
Right.
But
so let it go.
I have, but it still doesn't change my opinion that the company's philosophy on it is flawed. These things happen, and it doesn't.
Joe, you can't.
It's not a goddamn nuclear bomb going.
Dude, in our business, it is. You cannot let cuss words get on the radio and think, oh, oops, we just slipped. You just can't now.
Not now, but you could before, and everybody's just got to let up.
Okay, you let us know when that time comes. I mean, really, let me know.
It's here. It's here.
Okay. Talk to somebody in this company or any other broadcasting company.
They're not going
to
listen.
And find anybody that would say, you know what, if one of the four-letter words gets through occasionally that's not allowed, if it was a mistake, we'll let it go.
Now we're going to talk in circles because you know very well there are stations in this area that have shows that let those words get out and the companies do nothing about it. And now we're in a full circle and it's not even worth talking about.
Is that in our company, though, in the company that you're working for?
No.
Okay, then. So, you know,
but see,
Mike,
now we're
is it fair?
And now we're just talking nonsense because...
No, we're not talking nonsense. We're having a real honest discussion. Your thing is because someone else can do it and get away with it, it's not fair. Life isn't fair. You work for a company that's really just busting balls about this one particular topic.
Well, the thing that I agree with that Joe said was that when you get... And when anything happens, and it happened to us, it happened to Joe, it's happened to, you know, it's happening all over the place in this company. The fact is that everybody is... I get the feeling. Well, we have a partnership, so you and I kind of, I mean, what happens to you happens to me and vice versa.
Yeah.
But I do feel that we and then the individuals that get into this trouble, you're on your own, man. Something happens, you're on your own. Whatever the policy is, if it's a consistent policy, that's it. We have to live with it. But, man, you get a sense that when he talks about the fact that there's nobody really behind you and that you are on your own, you know, even after that, policy is taken care of, and they basically enforce that rule. There ought to be something there, you know. Said, hey, we did this. This is policy. You understand that, but you never get that sense here anymore.
So,
you don't get that sense.
No,
we had it years ago. We had it years ago at another radio station and another radio station.
But again, so we're back to the point that I get to off here with a lot of these people. So what we're going to talk about the fact this place is screwed up. What are we going to do about it? You know, until the next round of musical managers happens. We're stuck with these schmucks.
And that's when you realize it. You know what you're going to do about it? You're going to eat it and forget about it. And that's why, you know, I let go of the Michael Hughes things. I'm not going to hate the warden of the jail. I mean, I'm not going to do it.
Now, here's where I'm going to contradict myself. You can still hate him.
Well, I mean,
like I do,
but I'm not.
I just got done 5 minutes arguing with you about why the company was right. But now I'm going to tell you the same time. They're all jerks. They don't know the first freaking thing about what real life is. I mean, when you're broadcasting, mm-hmm. they have no idea. So you can do what I do. Pretend that you like these people, but inside, hate.
Don, ixnay on the Eichley.
What was that?
What?
That was one of his feet. We reached that time where Joe's been in the studio too long.
Ixnay on the Eichley. Nick's on the light?
I'm trying to say, I know that, you know that.
Shh. Okay. Okay.
All right,
so now he's confused me.
Gotcha.
Okay. I was with him for a while.
It's always
a lot longer than I normally am.
It's always good talking to Joe, getting the working man's perspective.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times out here, with the beautiful life of the performer's lead, we don't know what it's like for the people behind the scenes.
When they pull that on Joe and Beth Ann, they set those guys, both Beth Ann and Joe, back for a loop. Financially,
yeah.
It's a kick in the solar plexus.
Correct.
And if the management doesn't know what they do to people when they do that, it's goddamn tough when you're basically used to dealing with something and dealing with that paycheck. It's tough. It's very tough.
Correct.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the climate we work in.
So anyway, listen, let's end this pep talk now.
Mm-hmm.
No more calls about those jerks in Baltimore.
Of course.
Okay.
Not.
Who cares?
All right.
They're not worth it.
Right.
Hughes. You and I are the same.
No more calls from Hughes either.
We both just really think he's a horse's ass, but when we're with him, we're going to go, hey, you're the man.
Right?
And then we'll just wait, you know, until he screws it up, and then the next guy will be here. That's what I tell everybody all the time. What are you worried about? You're going to be working here longer than they will. Just wait. It's the circle of life at WJFK. Trust me.
It's gotten me this far, that's for sure.
Trust me.
You can't argue with that.
We've worked our way through like 5 general managers, at least 9 program directors, something over 20 sales managers.
Right.
For goodness sakes. Don't worry about it, Joe.
Okay.
There'll be someone, the wheel will go around next time. Who knows who we're going to get to be the new manager? Joe? I don't think so. You point it right at Joe.
That'd be good.
I don't think so.
To have a buddy like him up there?
I think Jag's on the fast track.
Haji?
He's got all the qualities.
His magic carpet.
He seems to have all the qualities.
Oh, here's what he's got going for him. He's a minority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. That is an advantage.
Sure.
That he's, what is he?
I think he's Indian.
Indian, okay.
I thought he was British.
It's just the accent.
But he probably is on the fast track. You're right, Mike. He's probably the next general manager
here. I think so.
Haji.
Yeah.
Jag. The guy who mails all the prize packs right now. He's your prediction to be the next general manager?
Absolutely. That's okay. The guy I think that's on the fast track.
Mm-hmm. You know who I'm voting for? Dave Howard.
Dave Howard.
Dave Howard.
I like
him. Dave Howard.
Don't rule out the chance that Beth Ann's favorite man might be sitting in that chair someday.
Who's that?
Paul Gorgie.
Oh, and let me just say this. I know she would want the job. Beth Ann McBride would die to be the general manager of this station. Imagine that, where she could be here all the time and poke her nose into everybody's business.
Oh, my God. She's got the work ethic, clean up the hair.
I was going to say her day would be 3 hours shorter if she was the general manager.
Show me a great GM, though, and I'll show you a GM with no work ethic.
You know who?
With a very slow work ethic.
I think you're ignoring the obvious general manager choice. Guy who's been here a long time. Greg Edger.
Fair enough.
The board op for the Mr. Stearns program.
What about Ben?
Ben would be good.
I don't think Ben is a company employee.
Ben the custodian. The new general manager doesn't have to
I'll sign off on that for you.
It may be that no one knows more about the company than Ben, however. Yeah, you're probably right.
You know what Ben does know about? Ben knows about that sex room downstairs.
Yeah.
About that electrical room downstairs.
And he's the number one shareholder in the building.
Used for sex by everybody that works here. All right, Joe, get out of here, please.
Okay.
Thank you very hard.
General Manager Joe Ardinger.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. Some call Charlie the perfect father. Some call Charlie the perfect father.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rated number one among simpletons and halfwits, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, the day is almost done, but we still got a couple of segments of this excellent best of for you. Don and Mike returning tomorrow on Tuesday, and I'm sure they'll have plenty of good stories for you and me.
Anyway, let's get right back into it. Bill Clinton has a music CD. Let's find out more on the best of Don and Mike.
Yeah, I know you heard this about Bill Clinton.
Yep.
That he's got an album coming out. Now, it's not an album of him singing or playing the saxophone.
Right.
It's from the Bill Clinton Presidential Foundation, a bunch of CDs with his favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you, this is crap. Because what's on the disc, and we've got it here, My One and Only Love by John Coltrane,
mm-hmm.
My Funny Valentine by Miles Davis,
mm-hmm.
Chelsea Morning by Judy Collins.
That's for his daughter.
These are not the songs that Bill Clinton wanted.
No, he's got a more. He's got a more eclectic.
What songs did he want?
Well, Buzz, aren't you great? So welcome in, former president.
How are you,
Bill Clinton? Hey, Bill.
Good to be with you. I always like coming on the show. It reminds me of the days that I was back here in Washington D.C.
You know, President.
I travel around the country now, and I spend most of my time in New York.
I see this thing about this CD that you're putting out.
Yeah. I love music.
It's crap.
I really do it.
It's crap, right?
But you mean the ones you're reading?
Yeah.
The John Coltrane.
My Funny Valentine.
Yeah, that's not the real music. People that love me and know me really well know my real collection is much dearer to my heart.
Yeah, what is this song? I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free by... Nina Simone,
yeah. Well, it's culture, you know. I'm trying to make, you know, these highbrow artists that everybody can respond and say, boy, that president, Bill Clinton, sure has quite a mix and good taste in music. You know, my advisors chose that one. Yeah, I believe that was, I forgot which one that was, a long time ago. I'm getting daft.
The Clinton Presidential Foundation.
Are you going to go out after the show maybe for some active love?
What? Pardon me, sir?
Would you like to go out after the show for some active love?
No.
Well, Hillary's on sabbatical, so I don't have to go back to the townhouse tonight.
Oh. Did you bring your real CD with you?
Yeah, I have it right here.
Would you pass it over?
I know you'd love to hear it.
Would you pass it over?
Don Geronimo, here you go.
Thank
this
you.
One's for you.
Now.
Hope you do. How about?
That's great. Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Hey, I love your newscast.
Thank you, sir.
Well,
yeah.
Keep the fire burning.
I never forget.
We'll be back.
Now, good.
We will.
I know. Let's see. What does it say here? The Bill Clinton Collection.
Bill Clinton.
Selections.
Specific selections for Don Geronimo.
Okay. No, these are your personal selections.
Yeah, but I'm tipping you off to what? Look at me.
Okay.
I have not made a CD for anyone. For anyone other than you, these are my songs.
Your songs.
And only you are privy to them.
Okay. So
now the public is going to get that other, you know, that other poppycock.
Okay. Well, let's see what you've got on your CD.
Sure. I also gave a CD to Old Man Bush. He tried to put it on the phonograph. It was the funniest thing you'd ever see. You know, I like the father. Love the father, hate the son.
Yeah.
That's my motto.
Hold on. Let me...
Mountain biking. What a fag.
All right, this is it.
I put it in there.
I see you have, gosh, there's 19 cuts on
the CD. You're going to play cut one first. You got to play cut one first. Yeah. Okay. Now, this song was selected basically because... You're never going to get it. You
and
see,
both,
it's kind of like a reverse psychology thing. And what I like to do is I like to warm women up when I play this. Listen to this. Does this song ooze sex?
Yeah.
I think so. Does the other song not ooze sex? I think so, too.
All right, so
you're never going to get it, but of course they always did.
Yeah. But that's what you couldn't get on the CD for all the regular people.
No, that was one of my early songs that I selected as a tool of seduction.
Mm.
Now,
good move.
I have to tell you, I'm looking at the list here,
sure.
Of the CD.
Just,
and,
you know, these are all songs that I have in my personal collection.
It would be easy to just portray you as a man that has all, like, En Vogue records and
sure.
Soul sex stuff.
Of
I mean,
course.
Listen to the next cut.
Right. Yeah.
What is this? I'd Really Love to See You Tonight by England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Hello, yeah, it's been a while.
It's romantic.
Not much.
How about you? How are you? I'd call the girls that I've been with.
Sure,
I played this for Jennifer. Jennifer Flowers?
Jennifer Flowers.
Oh, she would melt.
No.
Now, let me explain something to you, Don.
Yes, please do.
I don't particularly care for the tune, but the chicks,
they go
you
crazy.
Play this and you say, it's just, and you look them in the eye and you say, I've got something, I'm going to play on my stereo. My stereo just for you.
And you get to
do it. I'm not talking about moving in.
I'm not talking about moving in.
Right.
That's right. No, hold on. Play the hook. Man, the stars are out. And I'd really love to see you again. Oh, boy, I love that. That is exciting. Oh, they melt. They melt like Georgia butter.
I bet they do.
Again, this is not the official Bill Clinton collection.
No, this is not the sanctioned ones in the library. Oh, yes. Now, this to me is without question one of the finest songs that I've ever heard. I truly love this one. Now,
Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical.
Let's Get Physical. But listen to the way they did this robot sound with her voice. Listen. Doesn't she sound like an android? All the way with ONJ. She is fantastic. I always referred to her as our gift from Australia.
Yeah.
Well, I loved it. I loved her when she was wearing that headband.
Yeah, you mean you play this for chicks and this music works?
Let's Get Physical?
Yeah.
I always play that. I would say, you know what? That's one of my favorite songs because I am thinking about getting physical with you right now. That's my secret stash. I hid it from Hillary.
Okay,
my secret musical stash.
Let's go to the next one.
I love Xanadu.
From the Bill Clinton collection.
Oh, yes. Now, this is something when you probably soften them up a little bit with wine, and then I'd always throw the Bee Gees up.
More Than a Woman.
And I'd look into their eyes, and I'd say, you know, I'm not sure. Who's your favorite? Barry? Maurice? Which is your favorite B.G. Gibb?
Which one of them is 6 feet under?
I think that's Maurice.
Maurice, yeah. Okay,
listen to those harmonies. I swear to God, it just tickles my love button.
This is an eclectic group of singers and songs you have on the CD.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Yeah.
I didn't know you liked DMX.
This is wonderful stuff. I always play this. Yeah. Up in here, up in there. Lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind because of you. Glenn Gardner. Cigars
at. We've already heard En Vogue.
Oh, man.
England Dan and John Ford Coley, Olivia Newton-John, the Beach Boys, the Bee Gees.
Oh, man. This is great. This is always what I put in my Clinton kitchen when the recipe calls for brown sugar.
Okay. Look, the next cut is on your CD.
Oh, man. The brothers love it. All aboard. Yeah. It's good. Hold on. This is for our country friends. There are a lot of girls down the south.
Come and ride this little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
Forget about your kids.
I find this hard to believe that they wouldn't release
I think this
CD.
Was sent to me by Ron Spiewak.
I declare you that.
You bet.
Great stink on that program.
When you get to the junction.
I love the girls. I always wanted to go face first into that little train watering tower.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Aerosmith. You might know this song is Big Ten Inch. Need I say more?
Big Ten Inch.
Fantastic. You know, of all the songs on it, that might be my favorite.
Sure.
She just loves my, you know.
I'm sure I'm noticing. No, hold on a second.
Well, every time, now and then you have to get a little slow and a little
romantic.
Well,
Air Supply.
Air Supply and Aerosmith. Groups with air.
Making love out of nothing at all.
That's the way I do it. That's the way I do it. I bring him into the Oval Office and say, hello, how are you?
I know just how to whisper.
Listen to that voice. He sounds just like a girl. Making love out of nothing at all.
Hold on a second.
Oh, these are my favorite
songs. What's your next song? Oh, now see this?
Yeah.
This would be like the absolute stereotype of what we would think you would have.
Barry White.
Yeah, right. Gotta have this.
Sometimes I do activities where I don't even hear the music. It'd just be a big old blur. And of course, I didn't include the singles from Dark Side of the Moon. I have all of them. I swear to God, it's fantastic. But listen to this. What I do sometimes is I move my hips to the beat of the music. And just like basically roll my bigger stomach at the time. Along my tie.
That's
wonderful.
I think you would have been better served to release these songs.
Yes, I
agree. These songs really tell us a lot about...
I'd buy this.
Well, that's the key word, Don.
Oh,
release.
I forgot that you were such a big fan of Juice Newton.
Juice Newton has beautiful hair. She is fantastic.
You've got quite the collection in your record valise.
People don't realize what a talent and what an intelligent lady Juice Newton was. I had a chance to meet her. She's actually a great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Sir Isaac. She truly is. I invite young ladies to sit on my settee for active love. And we just throw some Juice Newton on. The whole album was sexy.
Hold on.
You gave her that nickname, didn't you?
This is Bill's. Yes, Juice.
What's the next one?
I love the Juice. Oh, man. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Oh, Andrea True, this lady, the porn star.
Yeah. Ooh, baby. Yeah. Ooh, come on now. How do you like your love? How about some active love right now? That song, I don't know why, but I'll tell you, that song always makes me think of the stink on Sex in the City. You ever see that? What the hell's her name? Kim Cattrall?
Kim Cattrall.
Oh, that's right. Man, that's great stink. Great stink.
Oh, no. Ross Valerie would be glad to know you've got Journey on your CD.
Oh, you can't argue with Journey.
Mm-mm.
Really? Oh, I mean, especially the younger girls when I was in the administration. They would go absolutely bananas. You play some Steve Perry, and you got a snail trail in your office. There's no doubt about it. Stink loves it.
God, 19 great songs on one CD.
How can you do it?
Oh, yeah. Now, this particular song I like because I was attracted to the lead singer.
Mr. Meatloaf?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it great that he's still touring?
I don't know. That's Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
By the Dashboard Light. I did enough of that. Those campaign rallies. I tell you, it gave new meaning to the word advanced man.
So these are the songs.
Hey, Don.
Yeah?
Don't let your meat low.
These are the songs that you play when you have chicks over, right?
You are the woman that I always dreamed of. I knew it from the start. This one I would play occasionally for her. Yeah, just to make her feel good.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, hold on. There's only a couple more cuts here on the CD.
Let's hear them.
This one, I'm not surprised.
You'll like this.
Yeah, of course, Marvin.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you ready to grind when you hear this?
You ever play the long version?
I would only put this song on when my shirt was off. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I would rub my
fingers. You ever do the whole inner city blues, trouble man thing?
I'd actually take my shirt off and I'd get out my saxophone. And then I'd say, let's get it on.
What is the next one here?
Marvin Gaye. You know what his...
What is what?
Do you know what his middle name was?
What?
I'm not.
And he's the only one that's on the CD twice.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, you look like you've been wounded. How about some healing? For me. How about some active love healing on my settee?
Okay.
Oh, I feel good about you.
Hold on, wait. Let me just
baby.
Hear. Let me hear just one more cut. Now we got to go to Buzz for the news.
How about some Clinton salve? Sexual healing. Oh, yes. Now, you got to say hi to the Oak Ridge boys and a girl that I really like.
Elvira.
I did an Elvira. In Biloxi, Mississippi.
You know, there's
Man. Man, it was at a campaign rally. She was selling cotton candy. Oh, man.
You've got so many songs.
I love that Oakridge
on your
boys.
CD. You like Boogie Oogie Oogie? That's on your CD.
I like lots of disco. I really do. I tell you, Emmy, you got an Amy Stewart in there? Did I put that on the collection?
No,
that's a good one.
Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Big 10 inch.
Now, what I do is I just roll up my sleeves and I kind of tap my right foot and I'd look right at him and I'd say, you know, this song makes me feel like active love right now on my desk. Oh, man. How about some Boogie Oogie Oogie? There's Oogie on the settee.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Quit your belly aching and enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Quit your belly aching. Don and Mike return tomorrow. I've been your host, the legendary Joe Arndinger, with you on this fine Monday evening. Let's get right back into it. We got one more segment to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day. I said good day. It's time to explain yourself on the best of Don and Mike.
Explain yourself.
I've heard the tapes.
This is a new segment we're doing, and let's welcome now to the show Mitch Gould. Mitch Gould.
Hey, Mitch.
Elliot Gould. Mitch. Hello, Mitch.
Yes, how are you?
There you go.
There he is.
Mitch is doing the Steven Seagal drink. The website is lightningdrink.com. We'll have a link on our webpage, Don and Mike. website.com. Here's the question about Steven Seagal's lightning bolt energy drinks. Well, here we go. The whole concept of with Steven Seagal's drinks.
Explain yourself.
That's the name of this feature we call Explain Yourself. Mitch?
Hello,
Mitch? Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, hold on. Let me set it up again. Yeah. It's Steven Seagal's energy drink. We don't understand it, so...
Explain yourself.
Bingo.
You got it.
All right.
Okay, guys. I've known Steven for probably about 5-6 years now. He's always had a passion, you know, for health and fitness, as well as a desire to help people. Right. He wanted to put his extensive herbology skills to use. You know, living in Asia, became a master herbologist.
If I could stop you for one moment.
Sure.
When you were talking about what's the first thing you said about Steven about his career that you were saying that he's
got a passion for health and fitness.
Yeah. Right. What about that movie where he was all into the Indian stuff?
Explain yourself.
I mean, there wasn't really a passion for health there.
Absolutely.
Really?
Explain yourself.
It was one big ass Nehru jacket.
Well, he's got a whole wardrobe full of jackets.
Okay. Okay. You've explained yourself on that. You may continue.
Okay. So he wanted to put his extensive herbology skills to use.
Hold on. His expensive what skills?
Extensive herbology skills.
Explain yourself.
That would be herbology or herbology.
Correct.
Yes. Explain herbology.
Herbs. Exotic herbs.
Exotic herbs.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
You may continue now.
Thank you. So we combined my marketing and distribution experience with his ideas on how to make people feel better and achieve a more active and healthier lifestyle.
Again, I just have to say with the whole concept.
Explain yourself.
So far, Mitch, you're doing a good job. You've explained it all to us. And now continue, please.
Sure. So after months of marketing research has to come up with what type of product we wanted to launch and develop, we realized and noticed that the beverage trend, particularly in the energy drink category, was set to explode.
Set to explode. And what, Jim Belushi was not available to make a drink?
Couldn't use Belushi.
No.
Could not use Belushi. Can you tell us the names here now? Cherry Charge, Root Beer Rush, and of course Asian Experience.
Now these are all different flavors, but they're all basically the same ingredients, right?
With the exception of the flavor, that's correct, yes.
Now, Asian Experience.
That's the one.
Please, on Steven Seagal's Asian Experience.
Explain yourself.
That's the one we want to know about because, you know, we understand cherry root beer, but, you know, the flavor Asian Experience, what's that about?
Explain yourself.
Oh, that's the idea. We want to keep that a mystique. Kind of zen, kind of different. We don't want to let that out until you taste it, guys.
I'm betting it's lime.
All right, well then
it's lime flavored.
Ginger. Then what we're going to do is ask in our human
if we guess
laboratory.
I know before we
experimental
Mitch,
type guy Joe to come in here and drink one of these things.
Hey Mitch, if we guess the flavor, will you tell us what it is?
Absolutely. If you come close, I'll tell you.
All right, but because Buzz said something that I think makes sense. Is it ginger?
Tibetan goji berry.
Goji berry.
What?
Are you gonna play it again?
Yeah. Right. I mean, tell me about
it. Explain yourself.
Tibetan goji berry. Goji berry. What does that do?
Here you go, Joe. Here's the can of Steven Seagal's juice.
What flavor is that?
This is the Asian Experience.
Oh, that's Asian Experience.
Should you shake it before drinking it?
Not necessary.
Oh, okay. No. Not even shaking it up. You're shaking it real bad.
Well, yeah, guys. The thing is, we don't want to just create another tureen, corn syrup, ugly tasting sugar drink. You know, I wanted something different.
Right. That's all right.
Yeah, Joe is going to take a drink right now.
All right, now here's Joe, world's oldest phone screener, who's drinking the Steven Seagal energy drink. Joe?
How old is he?
How old are you, Joe, how old are you?
41.
All right, let's say 41. Don, you're gonna have to change his
and Joe,
his name.
Joe, being as you're 41 and you answer our telephone. Joe Ardinger.
He's taking his...
Explain yourself.
He's taking his second sip.
For sexual power, so go ahead and try it.
This is for sexual power?
Sexual power.
Really helpful with the ginseng in there and everything we loaded up.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, Tracy.
Tracy, you got a wild man coming home today. Joe is swigging this
stuff. Typically, they have the under 41.
Right. How does it taste?
Not bad.
What's the flavor like, Joe?
Well, it's I guess, kind of like cranberry.
Really? Tastes like Steve?
No.
I would say you're looking at
like Kelly LeBrock
and a raspberry combination.
Well, try this one. Try Cherry Charge.
Oh, boy.
How about that?
Cherry Charge from Steven Seagal.
Do we have all of them?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like cherry? We don't have the root beer?
No, the root beer is not going to be launched till first quarter, so I wanted to hold something back.
Well, this is very good. It's like Cherry Smash.
Which do you like better, the first one or the second one?
Cherry Charge.
I like the Cherry Charge. Here comes your can, Mike. I know how long you've wanted to drink Steven Seagal's juice.
Why doesn't this have a label on it?
Well, you'd have to explain that. Some of them aren't labeled.
Yeah. How come some of the cans you sent us are not labeled?
Well, I explained to you guys, we're going into production in 2 weeks, so what we had is some... basically some blank production cans made up for tasting purposes.
Oh, and so he said he was going to explain it, so he just...
Explain yourself.
He just did it.
He's had it.
Okay, good luck.
I drink it, but it has ginseng in it, and that gives me migraine headaches, so I can't drink.
Ginseng, not Asian, it probably won't give you a headache.
Really? Okay. All right, here, Rob.
It does. Even will send you an herb to fix it.
Oh, really? Okay, Rob's trying it. Rob's trying it. I think that's the cherry, too.
Makes me feel sleepy. No, I'm kidding. It's very tasty.
All right, here's a question.
Well, so far the reviews are images. They're pretty good.
The website is lightningdrink.com. Mitch, how closely do you know Steven Seagal?
Very close, for about 7-8 years now.
Has he ever given you a Dutch oven?
No Dutch oven.
No Dutch oven.
No Dutch oven.
Explain yourself.
Incidentally, for the debut of Explain Yourself, Mitch is playing along the way all marketing people should play along during these segments.
Right.
He is unflappable. That is the way. That is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think is more accomplished in the martial arts, Steven Seagal or Elvis Aaron Presley?
You're asking me?
Yes. Yes, your opinion.
I'd have to say Steven.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh, it's really?
Elvis Presley.
Didn't know that. If only these drinks had been around when Elvis was alive.
Can you tell us, we were wondering this yesterday, what is Steve Seagal's heritage?
That's
not a goof question. We were asking that seriously yesterday.
Born in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, I thought so.
That's it.
He's a Michiganite.
Is he a Native American?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's American.
See, because we were saying maybe he's Japanese, maybe he's Native American, but Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan. Actually, he moved to Japan when he was just 17 years old.
Oh, that's where it came from. All right, now I understand.
He moved to Japan, huh?
Explain yourself.
Mitch, we must ask you to explain that. He moved to Japan when he was 17.
What was up with that?
In search of the martial arts and the Asian way of life.
Okay, very good.
Good.
Opened up the first American dojo over in Japan.
Dojo?
Training facility.
A dojo? What the hell is it?
Explain yourself.
He snuck it in before you played the Explain Yourself. He said it's a training facility.
Right, for martial arts.
For martial arts. And he can still kick all of our asses, I suppose.
I really believe he can, yeah.
We thought so, too.
I don't know.
You're ready to take him on.
Yeah.
You got to wait till after tomorrow, though. You won't be in the same mood.
Yeah. Listen, what can we say? But Joe's
drinking a drink. You might have a shot at.
You know, Joe is swilling this stuff. He is chugging it right now.
You know, Joe would be drinking cough syrup if we gave it to him.
I feel like I could beat up Kelly LeBrock.
Have you ever? Hey, Joe.
Joe with the line.
Explain yourself.
Have you ever met Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes.
What's he like?
Pretty cool guy.
Explain yourself.
You use that sound effect to death.
Pretty cool guy.
Do you think? I'm sorry. Do you think it would go better without it?
No.
Do you think it would go better if we just talked to this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Big time.
Okay. Go ahead.
No. Stop it.
Stop it.
I'm kidding you.
All right, Mitch.
You guys know, for the younger guys, looking at the club scene, you mix this stuff with a vodka, you mix it with a rum, tequila.
You mix it with a roofie, you mix it with a date rape drug.
You know, it's funny
wow.
that you said that because just moments before, as Joe was leaving, he asked for another can to take home to mix with some vodka.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's. I guess that's like a hip drink.
So it's like a Red Bull and vodka type thing?
Down the South Beach, we're starting a new trend. It's called a goji teeny.
A goji teeny, like okay. with vodka, all right.
Yes, like a goji martini.
Cool. Okay, thank you.
All right, now, Mitch, you've successfully survived Explain Yourself.
Great.
Good job.
Thank you. When you guys get a chance.
Was this, let me just, one final question. Was this your idea? Was the drink the your drink? Was the drink your idea?
Believe it or not, it was his idea. And he
Explain Yourself.
Mitch.
It's actually his idea.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I...
Explain Yourself.
Maybe some more details on that.
Sure. He wanted a health drink, and we kind of combined it to knowing what the energy category is today.
Okay, but here's the thing. He wanted a health drink, but, like, he's a fat guy, though.
Explain Yourself.
I mean, I'm a fat guy, too, but I'm not marketing an energy drink.
Is he? What's his current weight?
I don't know, guys, but it's not a diet drink. Remember that. It's an energy drink.
Right.
Not to lose weight. It's not a diet. It's to get energy.
Energy.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, what can I say? You're still on the line. You haven't hung up. Congratulations. Your website is lightningdrink.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand part of, now this is not a lie. Part of the thing when Rob booked you, right? Not Beth Ann. Part of the deal was that you had to tape this that Stephen had to hear. He's going to listen to all these tapes.
He wants your names and addresses.
Okay. Settle down. Thanks for being on the show.
Mitch, thank you very much.
Bet enjoyed it.
All
good
right,
luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck with your swill. And we thank you.
And I know you didn't get out of Joe what you wanted because, you know, Joe would give you the straight answer with that. And Joe takes one sip and then he's like chugging the whole thing. And now he wants the can to take home.
Of course he
this
does.
This man will not flap. He is an unflappable man.
No, that's the idea. Yeah. That's the best way to handle that.
Right.
That is the best way to handle that. That's funny, names and addresses. Wouldn't that be great? Seriously, wouldn't it be great? All of a sudden, ding dong.
I heard you called me fat.
There's a huge black silk jacket waiting to see you. And he did sound a little like Tim McWilliams.
Yeah.
With a big tiger on the back of it.
Right.
Isn't that like something that he would wear in his movies?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
He's an 8th degree black belt.
Casey Ryback.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Wasn't that the name yesterday from yesterday?
Yeah, we had that discussion. Yes, that was it, right? Casey Ryback.
Casey Ryback. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I had kind of the same question you did. I mean, he's like a 350-pound fat guy, and he's trying to sell an energy.
Takes a lot of energy. You know, how do you know? It takes a lot of energy to clean yourself when you're that big.
You have to do anything. Get out of the car. Not that I'm speaking from experience.
Go to the pantry.
Huff and Puff.
Hello, Don and Mike. I'm Huff.
I'm Puff.
Hello. Don and Mike. We're going to blow your house down. Good morning. Crazy morning, too. I'm Huff. I'm Puff.
We're going to blow your house down.
Hello. We'll be followed by Midday Show, Three Little Pigs.
Don't forget Heckling Jekyll at the Overnight Gab Fest. You'll enjoy it.
Hello. And, of course, wake up tomorrow morning with Hansel and Gretel.
And tweet.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.